This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Yeah, Frank here, he's got his own billiard room.
Yes, it's the...
billiard room.
Come on already. We call it the...
The Place to Be.
Yes, the Place to Be. The Place to Be.
Then I shall be there.
Now, it's time. Live and in living color.
The Grandy Man can.
Time to play the game!
No, you left me satisfied and smiling.
That's what she said.
Why do I want this? I want to make bank, bro. I want to get ass. I want to drive a Range Rover.
Place to Be Nation, Scott Criscola and Justin Rosero. This is the Place to Be podcast.
Very nice, Mr. Criscola.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dennis.
Japanese band Oral Vampire produced a song called The Repo Man and used footage.
Oral Vampire, huh?
Or Aural. A-U-R-A-L. What kind of show is this?
Sounds like some Twilight porn in Michael Lynch's collection there.
Oz went on to star in American Pie, of course. Bismarck. Yeah, was it? Bismarck was that?
Liz Mark.
No, who's the other guy I'm getting confused with?
Bismarck, yeah, he dressed as North Dakota.
There's only one place where the big boys play, and that is in my extra queen size bed. Well, it just happens. What can you do?
Let's talk the things.
I think they might hit a shock wall.
Is that the Shockmaster's wall?
Yeah, I like Big Dick myself. I was just curious. PTB Nation, let me know what you're
our opener.
To do worse than Josh Richard.
Place to Be Nation! Welcome back to the great episode of the one and only Place to Be podcast. I am your co-host, Justin Rosero, coming at you live here on this Wednesday evening inside the PTB Man Cave. Scott Criscola, I went to see the ear, nose, and throat doctor, and I came home with a cold. So I don't know what's going on, if he worked some kind of voodoo magic on me or what, but in much worse shape than I was on Monday. I had a rugged game of basketball tonight. Came home with a W, but a little bit winded as well. So how are you?
I am well, JR. Always good to talk to you. Welcome, Place to Be Nation, to episode 310 of the Place to Be podcast. Well, at least, JR, this is a good night where we have many voices, so we don't have to go struggle.
Yeah, not
as
many
much
we
as,
want to hear.
Well, that I mean, it's quantity and quality. Six of one, half dozen the other. Anyway, welcome, everyone. All right. As we've talked about in the past, you know, the last few, you know, episodes, we head into season three. Mm-hmm. Trying to come up with some
season
different
four.
Things. Yeah, season four. Wow, yeah, you're right. Season four of the Place to Be podcast. We tried to come up with some different things in between, like the vintage vaults and some different ideas. And we've decided to kind of do something fun and utilize this unbelievable wealth of love that we have called the WWE Network.
Yeah, an idea we had maybe at first kind of for the website, and I think it may still happen, is to do a live watch. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you and I have done that before, but we thought it'd be cool to bring in a group of guys. Mm-hmm. We could all throw something on and just watch and bullshit over it. So we were debating what to watch to fit in the time constraints and what we could pick that would maybe have a little bit of chronological flair to it and something we could, you know, like, that's what we're known for, right? We go through all the pay-per-views in order. So we wanted to find another track to hit. And it's been a while since we've been back in the early 90s. It's a fun time. A time we didn't get to spend a lot of time with, though, because there's so few pay-per-views back then. Mm-hmm. That we buzzed through those at a pretty quick clip. And, you know, now we spend months in the years because of all the pay-per-views. But
right.
So what we want to do is we're going to go back to January of 1993. And once a month, we're going to get a group together. We're going to do a live watch, and we're going to watch all the Raws in order. So for now, as long as they're an hour, which is a while, we'll be all getting on, and we'll watch two episodes of Raw in order, and we'll watch the progression of the show.
Mm-hmm. I think it's an excellent idea. Yeah, yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. Yes, it's incredibly
a good hook,
sexy.
You think?
Everything we do is sexy, but I think it's a lot of fun. I think we're going to
finally get
see
some
this.
Advertising maybe from this.
Yeah. Where's Brian Shields? But yeah, I think
Popple.
It's a lot of
Brian.
You want listeners too?
Well, speaking of Brian Papa, let's start bringing in our guests. We have Brian Papa's biggest fan. He is one of the co-hosts of Where the Big Boys Play, another co-host along with of the Brad and Chad show as well. You hear him on the Pro Wrestling Super Show. You've heard him here before. He does nothing else for the site, but he appears on all these podcasts, and that is, of course, Chad Campbell. Chad, how are you?
I am on location doing this show. That
what are you, Parv's house?
My friend.
He's in Parv's flat.
You and the flat.
The home of Great American Bash 1992, Scott, Albany, Georgia.
Wow, there we go. Very nice.
Yeah.
So you're handling the spin the wheel, make the... Oh, no, that was Halloween Havoc. Didn't he debut at the Bash?
Chad, are you also playing Brian Papa's Wrestling Simulator right now?
I have that in my second browser window.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Him and Parr, tag team champions.
All right, let's bring in another familiar voice here to the Place to Be podcast, our good friend Mr. Steve Willie. Steve, how are you?
I'm doing great, gentlemen.
Now I'm banging my head. See, the problem is you can't make me laugh too much tonight because I just had a coughing fit as the ACH theme came
on. I solely did that to try to get a pop out of Chad.
You popped me. Pop something.
No soul.
You never sell anything. The Grinch. All right.
I'm always stuck in the early 90s to mid 90s, so I'm going to be perfect for this.
Yes. Well, let's bring in our final guest. You've heard him on other Place to Be Nation network shows, specifically The Extra Points. But for your first time here on the Place to Be podcast, we're bringing the cowboy, Mr. Roger Morissette. Roger, welcome.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Doing all right. Why don't you take a minute here quickly, Roger, because you've never been on this show, so a whole new audience for you. Tell us your relationship and history as a wrestling fan, because it's a unique one compared to a lot of the people we have on the show, and there's a reason we chose you. So why don't you let it rip and just give us a quick background.
Certainly. So I'm 34, which put me a big, big wrestling fan back in my my early youth. Remember watching WrestleManias 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, watching those live. My dad used to take me to Boston Garden all the time for the house shows there, and kind of stayed a fan through the Attitude Era into the Attitude Era, kind of back and forth, taking some time off during those time frames. But maybe about 15 years ago, approximately 10 to 15 years ago, I stopped watching altogether. And until I hooked up with a good old JR, I had not watched wrestling for a good decade, and got back in, 6-7 months ago. Have the network watching it religiously, and it's really like riding a bike. I'm hooked, just like I was back then. But there's a lot of time in there that I haven't seen. The stuff. So, like, for example, what we're going to watch tonight, I have no recollection of and haven't seen. So it's a fresh watch for me. So hopefully that'll add a little different perspective than some of you guys. And again, really happy to be on the show. Appreciate it.
Yeah, that's what we're looking forward to is, Chad and Steve are like me and Scott, just saturated with wrestling nerdness. I've probably seen this first Raw so many times, but it's cool to get your perspective on things. Just like, with your written pieces you've been doing for the website, The Cowboy Goes to Class, where you watch the matches you either have maybe seen once, 2 decades ago, or you haven't seen ever, and given a review. And, I think you have a pretty good keen eye as far as breaking a match down. So it'll be interesting to get your take. So, gentlemen, if we all feel lined up and ready to go, any pregame thoughts here before we get fired up?
That sounded like a personal ad from Roger, 34, old school wrestling fan. My thoughtful conversation.
Long walks on the beach.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing Roger check out some of these early 90s characters that were still roaming around, particularly the one that will be in the main event of this first Raw.
I'm looking forward to Steve Willie's. He promised me a hard questions tonight that he's going to throw our way. So,
oh, okay.
I have a question for Scott. Then, he usually throws out one of the big big thinking type questions.
That's right.
For us
on the main event.
The main
That's
event.
Right.
And so I was going to turn the table on something that he has a certain affinity for, but I'll do that later on.
Okay. Yes,
can't wait.
Looking forward to it. Yes.
All right, guys. So we're all queued up here, and if anyone listening wants to follow along, we're all paused right now in the foggy shot of the Empire State Building. And on the count of three, we're all going to hit play, and we'll get going. So 3, 2, 1. All right, someone needs to lower the volume right off the gap.
Yeah, back. even though we love Sean Mooney, we don't want to hear Sean Mooney.
I guess
sorry, guys. That's that's the new guy.
What a fucking rookie.
What a rookie.
Indoctrinating himself.
Yeah.
of course, Sean Mooney. How long is your? Do you have to get up? Is it like an old knob on a TV? You have to get up and lower the volume.
No, for the picture of me and my wife was blocking where I could turn the volume.
Oh, okay, oh cool. Yeah.
So yeah, yes, I had to get up. I
know. Stop making fun of the first world problems for guys in the third world like Chad right now. Alan, hold on.
I feel like I should be talking to John Walters on this phone.
Deep in the heart of Florida.
We're all clear over here, guys.
Okay, okay. We're good. So Bobby Heenan, yeah, Bobby Heenan was trying to get into Raw, and Sean Mooney giving him the old cock block. He was not invited, not in the commentary team. Steve Willey, who is on the commentary team when we fade into the arena here? Can you tell us?
I believe it's, isn't it Vince, the Macho Man, and Rob Bartlett?
It is. That is, yes. Our threesome very in the commentary booth. Scott, any info on Rob Bartlett?
Rob Bartlett was a radio producer. I believe it was for the Imus in the Morning show, mm-hmm, on WFAN back in the day. And I to this day, I still don't understand why he was picked for this.
Well, I kind of get it. I mean, they're in New York. I think they were trying to probably get some local press because the plan was to be live every week in this arena. I figured a local guy in the radio kind of have that tie to it, comedian. I think he was just doing the pop culture thing, just figuring maybe we'll get some local flavor in. Chad, what were your thoughts when they first left the primetime studio and went, when they announced this concept? Did you think it was going to work?
I mean, I was pretty sad because I had a great affection for the primetime, both when they did kind of the 1991 comedy variety show and then when they went to the roundtable format. That was right as I can remember being a fan and really getting into the product. So on one hand, I was kind of sad to see that format go, but I think, you know, having action that was promised to be a little more exciting and I guess have a little more gravity than what you generally see on your regular superstars or All-American on Saturday and Sunday mornings. I was excited about that.
Roger, what screams more 90s to you? Kokoboo wears clothes or his haircut?
I think it's a combination of the two. But the first question I have is, where the hell's Frankie?
He's not there. This was high energy time. He didn't, well.
Jerry, you got to say it right.
Yeah! Where's Frankie? I don't know. Maybe Frankie wasn't allowed up in the building. I'm not sure. Maybe they're afraid Yokozuna was going to eat him.
One thing I just noticed in the opening shot of the announcers, you see Vladimir in the background wearing an Ico Pro shirt. Did you see that? Given the old Arsenio Hall fist pump.
Nice, Vlad. I mean, Vlad's a staple. There's a few fans that will, I think, come to know throughout these early Raws that are always the Manhattan Center. And it does have a little bit of the ECW arena vibe that was going on at this time. Small, packed building, kind of a rabid fan base, dedicated fan base that were going to come each week. And you kind of get that familiar sound to these shows in the Manhattan Center. Because they're there for, what, a good, is it 6 months or so, Scott? I think it's, what, August or July when they venture out finally?
Yeah, they go back to Hammerstein or the Manhattan Center a few times.
Right, but I mean the initial stretch, I think, goes through like...
Yeah, I think through SummerSlam. Maybe a little earlier. I want to say at least through SummerSlam, they're probably there. And then they start to branch out by early September.
All right, so what's our vote on this as an opener? Is this match that hooks you guys right away, Yokozuna versus Coco Beware?
Thumbs down, my friend.
I'm guessing that this is just a total slaughter. I mean,
Roger's going to give it 4.5 stars.
Chad's going to give it -6.
What do you think, JR, of the Yokozuna alternate tights?
Oh, I love the white tights. I love them here.
Love the alternate tights.
Chad, did you do a previewing for the show?
I did not. So is the Manhattan Center room, that's above the Hammerstein Ballroom where we watched Ring of Honor,
yes,
right?
Okay. Yeah. Of course, in the Raw, is it the Raw 15 DVD or the Raw, one of the Raw DVDs, Mean Gene affectionately called this place a toilet. And then when we went there in 2013 for Ring of Honor, he was right, even though it was 20 years later, but I'm sure it wasn't that much different, but... Coco pretty much on his own at this point, right, JR?
No, High Energy was still working as a team.
Okay, so Owen was still with him?
On and off, yep. I think they just needed a guy like Coco's caliber to help put Yoko over here.
On Yoko.
What is this big splotch on Yoko's left titty?
Yeah. I just said. I went, that's like a bruise, huh? He must have been in some war.
Hickey?
Like I was going to go. I was going hickey.
A gravy stain.
I've already fallen off the rails, but...
Mr. Fujigil excited. At least that'd mean he's good for something. I want to see if he does anything in this match. Just I sit there and smile and nod.
You know, I'm going to love seeing also JR,
there
the
is.
Evolution of Mike Chioda's hair.
Yes.
As we go through the show.
I don't know how many of these that I've actually seen, because this does not look familiar to me. This is kind of towards the end of high school for me. And so involved in different activities and stuff and sports and stuff. I don't know how many of these I've seen, actually.
I'm really excited to watch all these in order. This is...
it's going to be great. I agree.
It's going to be a lot of fun, because I've seen them on and off. I remember when they had the online on demand. Scott, remember we subscribed to that and they had the Raws on there. I remember watching a bunch.
Yeah, that was fun.
It'll be cool to do this. This will be good. So Yoko in line now, heading towards his big push. Did you guys, I guess it's more towards Chad and Steve. Did you guys think it was obvious at this point where Yoko's headed come Rumble time?
Well, at least
I will say when Yoko squashed Virgil, and then had he done the Duggan thing yet, or is that after this?
I think it's after this. I feel like it's right around the Rumble, like it's the weekend of the Rumble or something.
Yeah, I would say maybe not quite yet, but by the Rumble it was fairly obvious.
Hmm. What do you think, Steve?
Bumping pretty good for a bigger guy at this point. His pants make it seem like he has no butt whatsoever.
I mean, those pants were in. That was the hot style, right? I mean, I remember wearing those for sure.
The Yoko's?
Maybe not green, but I definitely had the baggy pair. No.
That's about the size of sweatpants that Matt Rotella owns, though.
That was always one of my favorite Coco moves right there, where he gets hung up on the top rope. This guy just chucks him in. Now Yoko gaining some steam now. And
his leg drop was awesome. Poor Coco. His leg drop was awesome.
Rod, do you have any memories of Yoko growing up?
Oh, sure. He was he kind of had that unbeatable look about him, you know, like that leg drop. I think that could have finished the match right there. Coco's in big trouble.
Did you enjoy it? Hulk Hogan called him the Big Jap at King of the Ring or at WrestleMania?
I don't remember that, but I'm looking forward. I'm sure that when the cowboy goes to class at one point in the future, we'll
watch Hulk Hogan race his promos. That'll be one of
the cowboy may quit class after that one.
Yeah, if you watch WrestleMania 9, Raj, that'll be more like cowboy goes to detention.
Yes.
Like Breakfast Club.
We'll have to do that when I give you the shitty matches to watch. We'll say he goes to detention. So it looks like what awards are we going to give at the end of this thing? We're going to give Match of the Night.
Why don't we give a grade?
Grade to each match?
No, like the overall show.
Okay. All right. Oof.
And there we go. The Banzai Splash and Yoko with a very easy win over Yoko beats Coco.
Coco didn't get one offensive move into that.
So. Yeah, well, he dove and fell into the ropes.
He did hit a drop kick that backed Yoko up about an inch.
Yeah, that's true.
He hit him in the boobie there, in his bruised boobie. So there we go, guys. The first official match in the history of Monday Night Raw right there.
All right, quickly.
It's striking to me how small this place is as compared to what we see today. I mean, this must have been a lot of fun to be at these live with being so close to the ring, and then there's such a small venue.
Especially during tickets. Well, I'll say especially at this point, too, when they were live every week. You know, I think when they start falling into the taping cycle and doing three or four in a row, it probably got a little tedious. But I think when you just went there for like an hour just to watch this live show, it must have been, like Roger said, a lot of fun.
Yep, we have a little promo for the Royal Rumble.
Mm-hmm. Coming just a few. So I think we got three Raws before that or two? Is there?
It's the 24th. The 18th, this one, and the next one.
Okay, sounds good. So we'll leave off tonight heading into the Rumble, and then we pick back up next
month. Okay, on a side note, Steve Willey, do you remember where this Royal Rumble was?
Oh, I'm terrible at these. I'll say Anaheim just as a wild guess.
You are close. Same state. Chad, tell him.
Somewhere Ryan Schmock is banging his table.
Yes.
No, I would tell. No, if it was that, it'd be... how many seats were empty in that building? You have 5 seconds. No. So there you go. Oh, God, where'd they get hurt? Was that Donna Cristinello's cousin?
Well, I think that was... Is that what hot was like in 93? The teased hair, the...
Well, it didn't matter what they looked like. It was the hair.
Yeah, the hair and the one-piece bathing suits.
Of course, I like how the New York Post is conveniently placed on the bear, on the board, on the monitor there.
Yeah.
I really think that's...
on the gum like there's no tomorrow.
Yeah, and I really think that's the feel they were going for. Was this the paper, Bartlett, just trying to make it as New Yorked up as possible.
Here's Bobby probably pimping... I would assume he's pimping the narcissist here.
Yes, I believe. I think so with that curtain. Yeah. Did you guys all know? I guess Chad, you were watching WCW a lot at this time, right? Still.
Yeah.
Okay. So did you know this was Luger coming in?
Yeah, I mean his last match was Super Brawl 2 versus Sting in February of 92. So he's been gone for a long time.
Well, yeah, because he was doing the WBF. He was doing the WBF stuff, interviewing
WrestleMania. Kind of like always reminds me of Rick Rude when he jumped from WWF to WCW, how he had that kind of long break.
Yeah, and then showed up. I think it was fairly obvious that when he started talking about narcissist and that it was going to be Luger. I mean, I wasn't reading, there were no real dirt sheets that it came my way at this point. So, but I still think it was fairly well known.
Mm.
It's a pretty long promo.
Let me ask you, JR, did you think that, and I ask you, Willie and Chad, do you guys think that Bobby and these guys almost started to seem kind of out of place with the change of the show and kind of the freshness of the early 90s? Did guys like Bobby and them seem out of place, or do you think they still fit in the whole overall product?
Well, he didn't really have many guys at this point, did he? There was no real Heenan family. It's just kind of Flair as advisor. He was on TNT quite a bit, as a host, but you didn't really see him on screen rings.
Well, he had officially retired, quote, as a manager at WrestleMania 7.
Right.
Other than the Flair thing in 92, but that was a business consultant.
Yeah, so I don't think he was managing at all. I think he was a straight-up commentator. I mean, I think Bobby still fit in the stretch. I don't think he felt out of place at all. I mean, I think some of the wrestlers do, but I don't think Bobby did. I think he still felt part of the crew. So our next matchup here is the Steiner Brothers. Speaking of WCW, they just debuted a few weeks before this in late December. And they're facing, do we get names for those guys? Is it the Executioners?
I don't know, the Shadows or weird masked teams.
Do we know who this is, Chad?
I have no idea who these guys are. I love the Steiner Brothers theme in WWE.
Yes, always one of my favorites. It is the Executioners. I wonder if this was, I know Barry Hardy and Dwayne Gill used to play them sometimes, and eventually the future Headbangers, Mosh and Thrasher, were they the Spiders? They were under the hood of someone.
They were the Spiders.
Someone with the Spiders, yep.
Yeah. So I think this may be Hardy and Gill. I think they were usually the Executioners.
Hardy or Horowitz?
Hardy, Barry Hardy and Dwayne Gill.
I just don't know if you guys noticed Doink the Clown up on the... Can you see him now?
Oh, there he is.
Who knows? Oh, there he is. Okay.
I think that's my friend Jim Price's mom's, one of her shirts he has for a cast there.
I was just thinking the same thing.
Roger, any knowledge of the Steiner Brothers before this point? Had you watched WCW at all, or were you just strict WWF guy?
Not much. I remember Big Papa Pump. I believe that's him in the ring, right?
That's Rick in the ring. Big Papa Pump's on the apron right now.
Oh, see, they
oh, jeez.
But he's got the... It looks like they changed mustaches.
I never liked these guys in WCW. I mean, in WWF.
Really? The Steiners?
Yeah, I don't know. I never thought they fit. They were one of those. I was still very loyal to WWF in terms of as a fan. I didn't really get into WCW for another year or so. I'd gotten out of NWA in like 90. So I'm just like, these guys are WCW guys. I don't know. They didn't do anything. They really never did anything for me.
I liked them here because they started working really stiff, like as we're seeing here, this beating the piss out of these guys.
Yeah, even when he threw them to the ropes.
Jesus. That was a real noggin knocker. Now they both have concussions. Poor Barry Hardy. Barry Hardy.
I think it was a good idea to pick the Steiners for a match here to showcase them on the first Raw. They were obviously going to be set up for a pretty good, big push. It just debuted. So I think it was a good choice for them to come out here and beat the crap out of two nobodies.
There's a Doink in the background there.
Has Scott even gotten in the ring yet? It's been Rick the whole time.
No,
it's been Rick the whole time. Now Scott's getting in now. There's Doink in the back. Does he still have the? Yeah, he does. He still has the sling with the battery filled cast.
Nice belly to belly. Yeah, Doink. Yeah, he had his arm, his hand squeezed and arm twisted by Crush on Superstars. But Doink had been around for a while here. I think he started showing up in October. I think was when he first made his appearance on TV.
I think so. Yeah.
You don't usually see a face throw the jobber into the corner to tag his partner. Usually it's a heel.
Yeah, no, they were the kings of the dick squash in WWF. Like, they were just mall guys. I mean, Steiner, they were a butterfly suplex, Chad? Is that what that is?
Yeah, this match was like a love letter to the Road Warriors.
It really was.
I just was thinking the same thing. I thought they were about to do the Doomsday Device.
Well, they actually connected to that finish well. That's usually a move they'll screw up.
Yeah, no, he did hit it. Usually Rick goes too far and he doesn't land properly on the guy, but he did there. So, Joey Morelli, your referee.
What do you think, Roger? Would you have been sold on these guys after seeing this match?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Crowd loves them. That was a real nice, impressive finish for a couple of big guys. And, I am. I'm in on the Steiner brothers.
All right, we'll track that. We'll see if you think they're handled well as we move throughout.
JR, there's a guy. If next time we get a shot of the background, there's a guy sitting on the on camera on the opposite the camera, whose mustache and all looks just like your dad, the big long Gazzo mustache. You sure he didn't take you to a Manhattan Center?
Hey, he could have been there. I don't think I was.
looks just like him.
So we're back out front. Sean Mooney, there's a woman trying to get in. Or it looks like a man in drag, of course, Bobby Heenan.
It's like Jim.
with a shawl on and a long blonde wig and glasses. And I think
This makes no sense. He was allowed to show the promo for The Narcissist, but now he can't get in. This makes no sense.
Well, he's not allowed in the building. That was just a pre-aired pre-tape promo.
Still weird.
Are those like dishwashing
gloves? When did Mooney get Faze to Pettengill?
Well, Pettengill debuted. I think they show him on the show because Mania started the same week Raw did. But Mooney's around for a little bit longer. I think he's around into the summer almost. So I think it's a slow transition.
One of my favorite Razor Ramon shirts of all time right there.
Oh, Lord.
That is fantastic.
This is so early 90s.
Is the ugliest Undertaker shirt of all time right there, too.
That is definitely something my brother would have had on, like, at a family picture or something.
Now, I did have, I don't think I've ever said this, because, Scott, you had talked about the yellow Razor Ramon shirt at some point.
The SummerSlam ugly. 94. Yeah, it's terrible.
I did have the Dudes with Attitude, Shawn Michaels and Diesel shirt that was of similar vein.
Oh, you're making JR jealous. He always wanted that shirt.
I did. Did you guys see that grade A quality Haas in the front row before?
Oh, yes. Well, they wrote Shawn Michaels number one in Sharpie on her shirt. She couldn't afford a shirt.
Well, I think she can afford it. They just probably don't make them.
They probably don't. Just, you know, you have to sew two together.
Make them that big.
Of course, I believe at this point, Razor already announced his number one contender and will face Bret Hart for the world title at the Rumble.
Did you guys think it was weird they just kind of put Razor? Because he didn't really do too much to earn it. Remember, he beat up Owen Hart on Mania. I don't know if that happened yet. Maybe coming up in a couple weeks. Did you find it kind of weird that they just gave him the title shot at the Rumble?
I didn't think so. What other heel was there at the time? That could have... I mean, because the big thing was Yoko was the up-and-coming heel. But, I mean, what other good heel could Bret have defended against? Flair was gone. Yeah. Well, Flair wasn't officially gone.
Right, yeah, they could have done Bret Flair. They had never done it on TV. Are you surprised that they didn't give him the title match and let Bret go over him clean?
Because we looked it up, JR. He was with the company till, April? Late March?
Mm.
He was still doing house show.
No, not that far. I think it was like late February.
Late February? Okay. I know he was there a while. He could have filled out an obligation and faced Flair at the Rumble. That would have been a pretty good move.
Now, just to clarify the timing, too, how close was this to Perfect's turn where Razor kind of got that raise up to be with Flair? Was that Survivor Series?
Yeah, that was Survivor Series.
So we're a month and a half, like 6 weeks or so removed from that.
Right, yep. So here's the thing I was talking about earlier where Razor attacked Owen Hart on the debut Mania. I always loved that clothesline, too. Owen really took it well out of the chair.
Yeah.
Yep. I really like those purple and white Zubaz.
You can see a lot of that, too.
We may have to give the award for best shirt or best 90s outfit as we move through the show as well. I don't know. You think Razor is the leader in the clubhouse right now, or does Coco still have it?
I don't know. I love that Razor shirt. It's pretty awesome.
Razor shirt's better, but Coco, I think, represents the 90s a little bit more. I wore stuff like what Coco had.
All right, maybe that'll be our award, then. The most 90s person of the H episode.
That's so funny.
Razor's still going.
Razor is just kind of like a mean. I don't know if you guys remember Gerardo, Rico Suave.
Oh Jesus!
He's like a mean version of Gerardo.
I'm gonna love the cowboy on these shows. Pulling out every awesome weirdo 90s reference. It's gonna be tremendous. Anybody have the music?
Rico
Suave.
I think they were.
What's
going.
Everybody's? Oh God!
No God!
I was gonna say, what's everybody's favorite Razor vignette? I think mine is still when he threw the plate of food in the waiter's face. I think that still might be my favorite.
I always like the one where he pushed the guy in the fountain.
That is pretty good too. Headlock on Hunter. Oh, that's Somalia. I remember that when I was in college. The Somalia hunger problems. I remember that. We talked about a lot of that in my comm class.
Okay. Depressing.
Somalia. Well, remember we had military problems in Somalia too. That was the beginning of Clinton's first term.
They were big.
Speaking
into
of
that,
guys who were problems, there he is.
Clinton?
Oh, no, Tatanka. Tatanka.
They were big into the headlock on Hunger during this point. I think they were trying to make up for all the sex trials and steroid trials and everything else.
Yes.
I think this is their attempt to cash in on that.
Tatanka's still undefeated, obviously, at that point.
Well, we all know reservations have no hunger on them. Everything's fine there.
Yes.
Oh, here we go. This, of course, the first Raw appearance of Max Moon.
Woo-hoo!
Coming to the ring. Originally the Comet Kid, if you remember, I think for 1 week, and then he became Max Moon. Chad, this was Paul Diamond by this point, right? Conan only lasted a couple weeks.
Yeah. This should have been our boy, Paul Diamond. Best known, I guess, for Bad Company.
Yeah, it's definitely Paul Diamond.
As Orient Express.
Mm-hmm. And he would move down to ECW soon after this, right? Because the ECWs I've been watching at the end of 93, him and I didn't realize Bad Company had a pretty good run down there in the tag team title mix, him and Tanaka. So Max Moon doesn't last too long anyway, but he's in ECW by the end of the year.
How long does this guy last that just came in the ring?
Right? Who is it? Oh, Shawn what? Shawn Michaels? I think he lasts
I don't know. The Rocker's still together? Look at that alternate. I dare anybody to find the alternate Seafoam Intercontinental title belt.
Yes.
That's tremendous.
There is a fabulous print shop banner in the crowd right now. That is 90s right now. Print shop dot matrix banner.
Oh, I love it.
I used to this world.
Used to do those all the time for my
there you go, Roger. Costume. We need the musical reference. I'm too sexy for this world.
Who's the band? He's looking
right
it up.
Said Fred.
There you go.
A lot of printer pasta there, Scott.
Is Roger still with us?
Yes, I'm here.
You didn't know Right Said Fred?
I knew Right Said Fred.
Okay.
I wanted to let Chad get a word in, though.
Now, JR, what was Paul Diamond's name when he was in the Orient Express?
Kato!
That's right. And he replaced?
Sato!
There you go.
And Tanaka.
And
so what was Max Boone supposed to be? Do we all want to throw a guess out there? Is he just, was this to capitalize on, was it Rocket Man? What was the name of the movie with the Rocket Kid?
Rocketeer?
Rocketeer.
Commando.
No,
one of my dad's favorite movies.
Suburban Commando or Rocketeer?
Both.
I think he looks like one of the guards from The Mummy.
What was with the dreads? I mean, I can understand the bodysuit, but...
All men in the future will have dreads.
I'm going to look up...
Kind of looks a little bit like Tron.
I'm going to go out on a limb and pick Shawn Michaels to win this match.
I don't know. Max Moon just debuted. They may want a big push for him. Actually, I think he debuted in the summer.
Anybody want to guess when The Rocketeer came out?
Well, I'm guessing it was before this.
91?
I'm going to say the fall of 92.
June 21st, 1991.
Okay.
Starring Billy Campbell, Jennifer Connelly, Alan Arkin, Timothy Dalton, former James Bond, Paul Sorvino, Tiny Ron Taylor. What the hell is Tiny Ron Taylor? There's only one Tiny I know. The great Tiny Lister.
There's only one Tiny Ron I know, right, Roger?
Yes.
We'll
end that conversation quickly.
Let's see, where's the... There he is, JR. Upper right there with the jacket and tie on. There was the guy that looked like your dad.
With the sunglasses?
No, maybe it wasn't him. It was another guy. It was another guy that had a bigger mustache. Yeah. Oh, no, it's not him. There's another guy. No, not the guy with the big Billy Busick mustache. That's two guys over. The turtleneck, sweater turtleneck.
So
where'd that guy go? Oh, it's all right.
What is the design of Max Moon's tights? What do you think they used? Like that glow strip? What are those like strips? The
I
don't
know
what they're called. Were they like a design thing for kids? Like you could, they were like almost like not Play-Doh, but I mean, they can shit up now. Maybe. Maybe it's a toy I dreamed of.
Light bright?
No, not light bright. I don't know.
I do like the formatics of the show so far. We've had, you know, three matches. So they definitely loaded up with action and not wasted, you know, time with a lot of fluff.
Yeah, well, I think that's what they're trying to showcase, that they were going to have some pretty legit matches. Because outside of the Steiner squash, we've had two out of three with name guys.
Mm.
So I think that was part of their goal. Steve, did you think Sean had it as a singles guy already by this point? Had been singles for a year?
From the moment he threw Marty through the window. So, you know, and you saw the different side of him. And I was always a huge Rockers guy, so. I don't remember. It's going to be at some point soon when Jannetty comes back, correct?
Well, he had come back already. He was back in late 92. I think it was right after Survivor Series he made his comeback, so.
I don't know if they announced the title match yet for the Rumble.
Well, we're only 2 weeks away, so if it's not here, it's going to be. No, I would think it's here. If they haven't announced it yet, I would think it may be by this point.
Well, there's Doink again. So people got some really cool plastic belts. I don't remember any of those being out in stores or anything back in the day. Cool replica belts. What is that? What is that that he's got on?
It's like a, I don't know, it's like a,
it's like a cut-up house coat or something.
Like Jim Price's mom's shirt.
Homer's Moo-Moo from The Simpsons.
Yes. Roger, where does the Shawn Michaels mullet rank on your mullet chart?
Oh, it's right near the top. It's a great mullet. Rick Rude's mullet in the first Ultimate Warrior match is right up there, too.
So what's the best mullet? Because that'll be our mullet scale as we go through these. Is it the Rude? We're going to call it the Rude scale for best mullet?
I think the Rude mullet takes the cake, at least what I've seen
okay.
so far.
So where on the Rude scale does this one lie?
Because it's a perm mullet.
Right.
It's tough to top a perm mullet.
So maybe like a six and a half Rude or 0.6 Rude, something like that. What do you think, Chad?
Pretty good mullet. I don't know. Wrestling's been riddled with a lot of them.
I'm trying to think with the scale
that
he's got.
Too much cut on the side, I think.
Yes. Well, yes. He's got the different colors, though, which helps as well. It's like a little dark on top and then blonde towards the bottom.
And it always stays fluffy even when he's sweating.
Yeah. We'll give him a 5. We'll give him a 5 on the Rude mullet scale.
And I have my volume down pretty low right now, so as Shawn Michaels was pointing to himself, saying something to the camera, I just imagined him talking about his mullet.
Yes, this is
mullet. Look at this. Look at this luxurious perm mullet.
Look at this flowing mullet.
The cowboy mullet. Says it's 0.5 Rude.
You know what's very sad, Steve Willie, is after this, before this Raw, you know, it did go off the air on April 25th, 1992. Growing pains.
Oh.
That went off the air in 92?
Yep.
I feel like it was longer into the 90s than that.
Growing pains, American television sitcom, aired on ABC September 24th, 1985 to April 25th, 1992. Love that show.
That is our next podcast. As we are going to go through and review every single episode of Growing Pains, Scott and I.
Yeah, it's going to be tremendous.
Pain would be the right word. So, Sean locking on a chin lock here, slowing this match down. That knocks it down, what, a full
this
bullet point for you,
Chad? Than it should be. Is this match longer than it should be?
No, I mean, you got to showcase Sean a little bit. Max Moon, not a guy you want to bury right out of the gate.
I'm not opposed to chin locks. My favorite match of all time probably is Flair versus Steamboat from Clash 6, which has a ton of chin locks.
That is true.
If you're going to do a chin lock, do something.
Is Sean doing enough for you right now?
Both Kurt Angle matches. Well, I don't like Shawn Michaels either, so there you have it.
Wow.
There's like a feud brewing between the three of you guys. I've kind of noticed in the last couple podcasts. It's.
Oh, look at that. Bill Watts would have called that a DQ in WCW at this time.
Sean up and over the top via slingshot from Max Moon. Max getting a little bit of offense here, which is good to see.
Oh,
they're going to get a high spot.
I just think it's ridiculous that they pick Paul Diamond just because he fit the suit.
Ooh.
I mean, how arbitrary do you have to be to pick someone because he can fit in this dumbass expensive suit you make?
Yeah, but, well, what did you think of Paul Diamond, though? Did you not like him?
I mean, he's okay, but, I mean, like, it just seems like I would call him maybe like a journeyman wrestler or a he was a tag guy. Now, all of a sudden, a gimmick that at one point when they designed it, they had high hopes for. By this point, I don't think they did. But
that's a nice move by Max Moon, just the kind of rolling Green Bay Plunge. What's the official name for that move, Chad? Do you know?
I'm terrible Green with Bay Plunge. Name.
Well, with what's his name?
Green Bay Plunge.
Yeah, Mr. Kennedy
used to
do
every morning.
Yeah, Mr. Kennedy.
This Moon's laying the smackdown quite a bit more than I thought he would.
And then this actually hasn't been a bad match.
Well, he just hit a super kick before it meant anything.
Yep. Did he still do the teardrop?
Yeah, he's still doing the teardrop, yeah. Which I don't know.
Here it is. I feel like he never hits it, though. Actually, I guess he's about to hit it right now.
I don't even know if I know what that looked like.
There it is.
That was his finisher? Good
guard. Yeah, that was his finisher at the time. And then he does the pile driver for a bit before. He doesn't settle on Sweet Chin Music until 95, so we'll watch the evolution, I guess, of his moves. But I'm pretty sure he does this into 94 and then does the pile driver for a bit.
That is the oddest colored. Go ahead.
That was his finisher for the Sega Genesis Royal Rumble game.
The teardrop?
Yeah.
The You know, that color of that belt reminds me of like an elementary school, like painted, like the stairs, the color of their stairs in an elementary school or something, the paints.
The belt also reminds me of the comforter that these parents are sleeping in. It's pretty much the same color.
These creepy kids. Little ad for Mania. What fucking parents? Sorry, Steve Willie, this is my first F-bomb. What parents sleep until 10 a.m. on a Saturday when they have two kids?
I dream of sleeping until 10 o'clock on a Saturday with two kids.
I mean, that's a little ridiculous.
I dream caffeine of sleeping until 8 o'clock.
Are they show the pile of coke or the pile of the fucking needle with the heroin line next to them?
There's our main event.
Damien Demento versus The Undertaker.
A hell of a main event. Anywhere in the country.
There we go. The Royal Rumble report. Nice. Where are you, Mean Gene? There you are, Mean Gene. I never liked these green screen things. I miss the actual standing with the screens in the background, and I miss those. I don't like this green screen. When did they start that? I think WrestleMania. I think SummerSlam 92 they started with the green screen graphics.
Brought to you by Ico Pro.
What a shock.
You've got to want it.
I think that's what Roger has stashed in the back of his car. He smuggled home from Arizona. All right, there
they're
it is,
doing
Steve.
The Willing. Sunday afternoon start time.
That's right. Was it 4 o'clock for this one?
I think so.
Right.
I think it was four. Yeah. So there you go. So
Sunday. Wow. I wonder if this was the off week of the playoffs.
I'm not sure. We can look, but so that means it happened at 1 o'clock local time in Sacramento.
Yes, because this was the year because the Cowboys won the Super Bowl that year, and it was January 31st.
You gotta talk about the Cowboys.
Hey, I'm just answering Steve's question.
Why can you say the Bills played that weekend?
Why? So I could say, yeah, the Bills played 9 turnovers, got killed. What?
All right. So anyway, Shawn Michaels and Marty Jannetty has been announced. Steve Willey for the IC title, cutting promos now, and Sherry is going to be back from her injury that she suffered when Marty returned, and will be in the corner of one of these men. Roger, did you have a preference growing up with the Rockers? Which one did you like better?
I always liked Shawn better.
And how about this mullet? The Marty mullet.
Nah. Well, Marty's like the good, just got that like hair metal
band. It's a three on the rude scale.
Look at that freaking earring. That's a 10 in the Chad scale.
And who would have thought that Marty Jannetty would still be active, but Shawn Michaels not?
Right? Well, active, So what was the date of the Rumble, Scott?
January 24th.
So, yes, that was... So the conference championship game was Sunday the 23rd. This can't be right.
No.
I'm looking at the 93 Cowboys, so I'm on the wrong year.
No, it's the 90, yeah.
Yeah, it was the 17th.
All right, Chad, calm down.
Bob Backlund.
January 17th was the championship game. So, yes, this was the off week, Steve Willie.
The King?
So, who do we got? The King? Oh, Jerry Mr. Lawler. Perfect. That's a hell of an outfit for Jerry Lawler.
I know. He looks like an ambassador.
Yes.
And perfect.
Perfect.
Yeah, he looks like a cruise ship captain there.
Does.
I was thinking Perfect was a legit favorite to win the Rumble at this point.
He was definitely my pick. I remember when we used to do picks within our family and stuff, and I said, if Hulk Hogan doesn't come back and win, because there are rumors already he may come back, and so Perfect was my conditional pick if Hogan didn't come back to win.
I'm surprised. Like, I wonder if Yoko had never happened or never got there, if they would have done. That's a terrible picture, DiBiase. I'm curious if they would have done, since they love that SummerSlam 91 match, if they would have done Perfect Bret at 9. I think that would have amped the show up immensely.
I remember actually thinking that Backlund may win the Rumble. I don't know what made me think this, that Backlund was going to win the Rumble and Razor was going to win the title, and we were going to get Razor. And we ended up getting Razor Backlund anyway, but
yeah,
I thought it was going to be for the title for some reason. Oh, Fuji was pretty fat at this point, huh?
Yes. And quite old. But he looks like a twig next to Yoko, though. Yeah.
I was actually thinking during that match, and Yokozuna looked surprisingly svelte for what he would become later.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was, I mean, if you watch his debut with Survivor Series, he was in, relatively fairly good shape compared.
Ooh, weird colors by Savage. Those are like WCW colors right there.
The orange.
Papa Shango. Earthquake. Fucking Berserker was still around? I forgot about that. Taker. Hey, that young pup, Carlos Colon. He was what, 19 here?
That's right, the youngster.
The youngster, Carlos.
Do you remember
Colon.
That? That was the name of Papa Shango's voodoo god, was Ibu. It was on his little book there. YBO, Ibu.
Is that Fred Katow right there?
No, that is Tenryu.
Tenryu.
There's Tito, and then
Typhoon. Oh, that's a Typhoon looks happy. It's nice.
Yes. Samu,
so Carlos Colon was legitimately 44 in the Royal Rumble.
It's crazy because he looks so freaking old. And you think of 44 now, like how old is Batista?
Put his hair there.
Talk about mullets. There you go. How old is Batista? Like 44 now, right? Just think of Batista now versus Carlos Colon that year and how different they look for 1994.
Oh, God. Was he dyeing his hair? God, what a schlub. Terrible.
Yeah, Batista's 45. That's crazy.
So when he won it at WrestleMania 21, he was already 36. We don't have to put it in. Sugar tits kick through the door.
I know, right?
Have a cameo.
Rumble, yeah, Hitman.
You guys can do radio. It's better than podcasts. So Bret Hart versus Razor Ramon for the world title will be going down at the Rumble on January 18th?
24th. March? What?
Sunday afternoon.
Now, did they have this show in between the two conference championship football games, or
it was while they were going on? San Francisco was playing in San. Was that game in Dallas, Scott, or in San Francisco?
No, it was in San Francisco. 93. No, it was in San Francisco.
Okay, so yeah,
and that's when Buffalo crushed the Raiders 51-3 in the AFC Championship. Ugh, that's a terrible bow tie that guy's wearing. No stereotypes here.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. That is brutal.
I love the guy in the hat behind him, the little Mario looking guy.
Kind of looks like Rembert.
Justin, you like that Hornets hat?
That's awesome. That is a pimp Hornets hat.
This was my Halloween costume in 1994. No joke.
A rabbi?
What Bobby's wearing. Yes.
Nice. JR, I believe it was that 93 playoffs when the Hornets. Is that Harvey Whippleman? No. I believe it was the 93 playoffs, JR, when the Hornets beat the Celtics, right?
Oh, such a great year, and then they lost to the Knicks. I was so heartbroken when they lost to New York that year.
They probably would have got killed by the Bulls.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All-American Wrestling still going on. I wonder how long that show lasted.
Oh, that goes on for a while, because it doesn't go off until Action Zone starts, which is the end of 94.
Green screens, that was like that show was the king of the green screens.
Oh, yeah. Well, then they did the travel through America thing with All America. Remember, they would travel all the different states. That was, I think it was all green screen, obviously. But
wow, they didn't black out this phone number. Let's call it.
Yeah, I was just thinking that, too. Let's give it a call.
Should we try and add it to the Skype?
352-86. Yes. Yes.
Was it 203?
352-8692.
8692. Let's get some tickets for Raw, baby.
Woohoo! Didn't our boy Jim have one of those Raw shirts, JR?
I had one, too.
You did have one.
Oh, there you go. Dead number.
Yep, dead. No Raw tickets. Son of a bitch.
Yes. We won those Raw shirts. We did our infamous costume contest later in the year in 93, and only like five people showed up, so they just gave all the prizes to everyone. So we all got Raw shirts, and we all got tickets to a house show.
Nice.
So we had like eight tickets to divvy up between all of us, but I think I still have my Raw shirt up there somewhere. Here's Harvey. I'm getting a little footage of...
Yeah, I have no recollection of Kamala still hanging out.
Oh, yeah, he's around until mid-93 because he had just turned face here, and he still has to join up with Slick and all that.
I think you're seeing the turn right here.
Yeah, getting abused by Kimchi and Dr. Harvey.
I guess this is Lombardi as Kimchi.
I would think so. Kamala had such a short heel run. Like, it seems like he was around for a while, you know, and then really just from, like, August through December was he a heel.
Oh, Reverend Slick.
There he is.
Hey, speaking brother. Of Reverend Slick, the network, like when they do the fill after shows end, they have one of the vignettes when they were when he was bowling with Kamala. That must be shortly after this.
Yeah, he was trying to humanize him.
Humanize him, and he had him bowling.
Yeah, my brother does not watch, has never watched wrestling, but when we get together, we still sometimes put on Slick's WrestleMania 6 and WrestleMania 7 promos. Oh, Davey boy, gets me every time.
Were you a believer of the Reverend Slick, Roger? I think Roger's having all kinds of technical issues here. You with us?
He's praying.
He's praying to him now.
Yeah.
All right, Steve Willie.
Yes.
For next week on the main event, think hard. The genesis of Damian Demento.
Oh, yeah, we'll do the entire history.
Yep. and you still won't take up as much time as Andrew Reich would. So,
I'm sorry, I wasn't listening to what you said. I was trying to think of the next thing I was going to say.
Damian Demento, do you guys remember his name on the indie scene? It's a little trivia for you.
Yeah, I do.
Do you guys?
No.
Mondo Clean. Right, Chad?
Yeah. I knew it was Mondo something.
Mondo Clean, K-L-E-E-N. I remember him a lot from the PWIs around the time and stuff when he debuted.
The Undertaker not even really getting an entrance.
He was just...
Yeah, there's like no lights went out or anything. He just, all of a
sudden
he was just
on the stairs when they cut to him.
Yeah. Very different presentation.
He actually was in, when he debuted, JR, I'm just looking it up, in the WWF, he debuted as Mondo Clean. Then he changed to Damian Demento. He debuted at a house show on October 2nd, 1992. He lost to Jeff Jarrett. Jeff Jarrett was there in 92?
No, I think it was like a tryout thing for
Yeah, or maybe he was in Memphis, maybe they were still working the Memphis thing.
Do you remember, or Steve Willey, I think you'll appreciate this, he debuted on the indie circuit in 1987 under the name John Reinhardt. Where he liked to rebook a lot of cards.
Yes.
Of all teams, the Bushwhackers helped him get the job. They forwarded a tape of him and donated
him to a contract. Because they're expert scouts, that's why.
Well, Luke became a pretty good booker, right? Later on, so.
Yeah, Luke was helping out in Ring of Honor.
Yeah. This line is great. He made another return to the squared circle. This is Damian Demento. On September 24th, 2011, he wrestled as Mondo Clean. He defeated Steven Person in a cage match at a show for the Dumbo Arts Festival in WUW, whatever the hell that was. He still seemed to stay
Sounds
in the
like
East Coast,
a public access channel.
It's actually,
like,
I'm surprised you didn't know this, Scott. It's Dumbo, Brooklyn.
Is it really?
Dumbo.
It seems like he's West Coast.
No,
because
Brooklyn.
Or East Coast.
Dumbo is an acronym for Down Under the Manhattan Bridge Overpass, a neighborhood in Brooklyn.
Never knew that.
You should ask Dr. G tomorrow if he has ever heard of Dumbo.
Vinegar Hill. He knows Vinegar Hill.
Vinegar Strokes.
Vinegar Strokes. Okay, Taco.
Where's Roger?
Roger. Does he have any Vinegar Strokes?
He might have had a Vinegar
he
Stroke.
He might have had Vinegar Strokes.
That's why I haven't heard from him.
Oh, God. Oh, that's a great show. I haven't seen the newest season's pop up on Netflix yet, though. What season just finished, JR? Five?
I'm bad with season numbers.
Because the first four.
I live in the moment.
True. The first four were on.
Yeah, Hardy.
We're on.
Sorry for all the technical difficulties over here, guys.
We thought you were having the vinegar strokes. You're going to have to go back and listen to the previous.
I'm getting one out of every 10 words. Sounds great.
Can you hear us all right now?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Good.
All right.
You'll have to listen to the 3 minutes you missed to understand how we got the vinegar strokes and you having them. So now the Undertaker. Roger, what'd you think of this Undertaker? He kind of just came up the steps, no pomp, no circumstance, and he's actually moving better than I remembered him moving at the time.
Yeah, I mean, I remember him breaking in. Ooh. I mean, he was such a great great athlete for a guy his size that it was I think he was awesome at this time. Just clean. He didn't quite, you know, the act is great, but just him as a wrestler and as a worker, I thought he was great. And Paul Bearer really was really at his creepy best, I think, here. I mean, he really adds to the whole nut job flavor.
And there was Vladimir. We saw him with his Arsenio, still doing the Arsenio fist pump. Taker won with a tombstone. Not one of his best, though.
No, that tombstone was hideous.
Steve Willey, tell us what's coming up next week here with this graphic.
Oh, well, Woody Allen and Mia Farrow. You know, Woody Allen was with his wife and dumped her for his stepdaughter, correct?
Yeah, and that's apparently the they're wrestling story. Next week in a steel
she
cage.
Yeah, they're going to be in a steel cage next week, evidently.
It's Raw, baby!
I don't know who that exactly was supposed to cater to.
Going back
Vince
to...
doing pop culture is terrible most times.
Yeah, and they tried a lot during these early couple years of Raw, like really into the try to get. I think they were just trying to get over how live they were.
Yeah, a lot of OJ references in '94.
Oh yeah. So Doink being interviewed by Vince, and now Crush is coming out. So of course, as we mentioned, they had a confrontation. That is, I cannot get over
Doink.
This thing.
What a douche.
Saddest days
like
ever.
Like Vince McMahon looking all angry at Doink for scaring little children right after they show a graphic of an old Jewish man, you know, basically having incest.
I think I'm going to do a movie and put them on clips on PlaceToBeNation.com where I dress up like Doink, go to my town, and just do the same shit he does around the ring.
I think you should do that, Jack. I think we will quickly become the highest rated website in history if you did that.
Now, Crush has got a pretty solid mullet at this point, too.
Yeah, Crush's mullet. We'll turn to the Roger, the expert here. I think we're, I mean, it's better than Sean's.
Definitely. I'm going 7.5 on the root scale.
And
it's a hell of a mullet.
The long part looks dyed a different color.
Yeah, it's flowing. It's very tight right around the where it breaks apart, and then it's very flowing at the bottom.
I think Crush has a bit of an 80s hairband look to him.
Yeah, he does. You know?
So he's a little behind the times. Not like Coco.
Coco's on the cutting edge of pop culture.
Yes.
So now we're back outside. Bobby's finally getting let in, and the show has ended. We hit our copyright, and the last man we see is Sean Mooney. So, first episode of Raw in the books. Chad, what grade scale do you think we should do for the overall show?
What do we want to do, like a 1 out of 10 or letter?
I don't want to do letter. Let's do 1 out of 10.
Okay. I would go with 6. I think it got over the flavor well. I mean, nothing too crazy. Max Moon versus Shawn Michaels was fine. The hijinks with Bobby was funny. A couple of good hype jobs into the Royal Rumble with Yoko. Taker looked strong in the main event. So 6, maybe 6.5. That's a solid first effort.
And we got a couple stars on there, too, with Taker and Shawn having matches. Mm-hmm. Roger, what's your grade?
Yeah, I'm right with Chad. I think considering it's the first one they ever did, it came off good. The Shawn Michaels match, I think, was clearly the best one on the card. I really like the Steiners, like I said. So, you know, given that it's the first Raw and the first time they've done this, I'm going to go with a little higher than Chad. I'm gonna give him a 7.
I think the Steiners match was my match of the night, to be honest with you. I mean, Shawn Max was decent, but I liked the Steiners match a lot. That was a really good squash and fun to watch. What's your grade, Steve?
My first gut was 5.5, 6, somewhere around there. It's different than, you know, the TNT show in that there were no, outside of the Steiners match, there wasn't really a straight jobber-type match.
Right. Mm. I'd probably settle in around there, too, between 5.5, 6.5. We'll go 6, split the difference. Yeah. Steiners Executioners was my favorite match. Scott?
Oh, I agree with, I was thinking 6 the minute Chad said it. I liked it. I like the Steiners match, but I got to go with Shawn and Max Moon. I think that kind of established Shawn as the worker of the company at the time with Brett. No Brett sighting, which I thought was kind of interesting. Mm. That knocks it off a bit for me, and no cool Taker entrance.
Cool Taker entrances weren't really the thing at that point, you know what I mean?
No, I guess they weren't.
Hard to dock them for something that didn't exist. But
yeah, that is true. I'll still give it a 6.
All right, who's our 90s, most 90s man of the night?
No, no doubt, Coco Beware.
Okay, we'll go Coco.
Close.
And mullet of the night.
Honorable mention to the Zubaz.
And mullet of the night, we're going Crush.
Easy.
Okay. All right, episode 1 is in the book, so why don't we take a break? We'll take a little breather. We'll get let Roger figure things out. We'll have Chad run down the hall, fill up his ice bucket, and then we'll come back and we'll do episode 2.
Because.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly from Ring of Honor Wrestling. Make sure you check out The Kevin Kelly Show each and every week, PlaceToBeNation.com. We'll be talking about wrestling in the past and wrestling today, plus be talking about all kinds of sports and pop culture, whatever's on your mind, too. We'll answer your questions each and every week. The Kevin Kelly Show, right here, PlaceToBeNation.com.
Let me know you in the house.
This is the king of old school, Steve Corino, and you've heard all the rumors, and it's true. The Steve Corino Show is here. We talk about wrestling. We talk about baseball, movies, television, anything you want to talk about. New guest every week. That's right. The Steve Corino Show every week here on the Place to Be Nation.
Hey, this is Bauer from The Bauer Show, sports and more. You can check out The Bauer Show podcast every Wednesday and Friday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com.
The Bauer Show.
Chad, do you hate it when commercials run and run?
What do you mean, Parv?
Oh, never mind.
Listen to Where the Big Boys Play on PlaceToBeNation.com and find us on iTunes. We are the only WCW Supercard exclusive podcast.
Hey, this is Rob Naylor.
Do you still enjoy pro wrestling? Believe it or not, I still do. So you better join myself and Will on the Google Wrestling Podcast exclusively at placetobenation.com.
Shit, I wasn't ready. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening and... Shit. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening to guys talk about old school wrestling, follow me and Charles on Wrestling with the Past podcast on Place to Be Nation.
So you got the script, yeah? You all got it?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds terrible. The Titans are wrestling... Oh, brilliant. Sorry. The Titans are wrestling off.
Pete, I'm a lead analyst for the show and breakdown matches.
Kelly, lead historian. I'm a jobber lover. Are you?
Johnny and I drink.
And yes, me, Bob. We watch old school wrestling and love it.
Titans of Wrestling.
You know you want to hear it.
What's going on? This is the Godfather, Nate Milton, with an offer you cannot refuse. Each and every week, you can join Marcus Vandenberg, Big Nasty Alfred Kunawa, and myself on the Kings of Sport podcast, available exclusively on PlaceToBeNation.com, your one-stop spot for the best in sports and pop culture.
Hey, this is Ben Morse from Marvel.com as well as the Brad and Chad Show, and I've got a new podcast. Well, I'm part of a new podcast, Place to Be Nation's Main Event. Hosted by Scott Criscolo every other week, it's a roundtable discussion with myself, Andrew Reich, Steve Willey, Jordan Duncan, and an assortment of special guests as we talk wrestling today, the big questions, and our feelings. Please, please, please check this podcast out, because if the ratings go down, I know I'm the first head on the chopping block for Justin Rosero. See you guys every other week on Place to Be Nation's Main Event.
I'm Scott Criscolo, and your new home for sports is Place to Be Nation's Extra Point. Join me and the doctor, George Urbelino, for your sports hookup, whether it's NFL, Major League Baseball, NBA, colleges, or the Cowboys MMA Blitz.
Forget about it. Plus, join me for my prescription where I will solve all the world's sports problems with my own brand of medicine.
That's Place to Be Nation's Extra Point here on PlaceToBeNation.com.
In Rhode Island and looking for great food and a fun atmosphere, we'll be sure to stop by Bonehead's Wing Bar, 131 Washington Street in West Warwick, with over 65 different wing sauces and dozens of sandwiches, burgers, and appetizers. And a fully stocked bar, Bonehead's has something for everyone. Bonehead's also shows every WWE and UFC pay-per-view, features live music, weekly trivia, and much, much more. So be sure to stop in, tell Matt and the crew that Place to Be Nation sent you, and become a Bonehead today.
What's up, wrestling fans? This is Jeff Peck, and you can check out my wrestling podcast, The Still Real to Us Show, every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com. It is a wrestling podcast from a fan's perspective, and we're not doing it in our mom's basement. So check it out every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Looking for new wrestling, sports, and pop culture voices? Head over to PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. We have an extremely talented staff that covers comics, video games, and all facets of entertainment. Our sports coverage spans all the major professional and collegiate sports, including MMA. Our fresh takes on professional wrestling are some of the best on the internet. Don't forget to check out our fantastic podcasts as well, including the voice of Ring of Honor, Kevin Kelly, exclusively at PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. Also, be sure to check out our friends at TheHistoryOfWWE.com, ProWrestlingOnly.com, Scott Keith blog at RSPWFAQ.net, and PileDriverWrestling.net.
Santa Maria one. My Wi-Fi is named Cowboy, by the way, guys. I hope I take my job seriously.
See, this I'm recording right now, yeah, just in case something happens.
I got cut out in the middle of this thing. I couldn't hear. Justin addressed me a couple times.
You know who I am. Get in the basement!
It's really, really like... It's like, you know, you're just getting in the way of like Brad
you're
Pitt at work.
You're in danger, same muskrat. Roger, you got to lock your Wi-Fi so she doesn't even
Roger
know
one,
it.
Two, three.
You don't know.
Ask her how she enjoys her Uso shirt.
Yes.
Yeah, the guys want to know if you like your Uso shirt. She really likes the sheep mask. I told you what I did, right, Justin?
Yes, yes. Do you want me to keep recording, or are you going to...
Are you recording, really? No, don't put that on the podcast.
Well, I was recording this. I wanted it just in case we had to have a 911 call with you, and we wanted to make sure we had some backup evidence.
Oh my god.
This is J.J. Dillon, the leader of the Four Horsemen, and you're listening to Place to Be Podcast.
All right, Nation, we're back. Episode 1 of Monday Night Raw in the books. We get the Cowboy, Roger Morsette, Steve Willey, Chad Campbell, myself, and Scott. We're about to fire up Episode 2. Hope you enjoy that little snippet of what went down in the break. keep that on file just in case the cops come knocking. So, PlaceToBeNation.com. Scott, as you may know, Clash of the Champions loaded up in full on the network this
so
week.
So excited.
Scott Keith is going to be reviewing all of them and his rants for Clash of the Champions number 1. Is up on the website right now, along with Glenn Butler's Wednesday Walk Around the Web. Takes you through all the hot links, all the cool news, and the titillating, amusing, thought-provoking links that he may find.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The Bauer Show was back. Jeff Peck and Michael Bauer looking at why the NFL draft could be a bust and a failure. We'll find out tomorrow night. This, of course, is the 2014 draft. And Roger, I believe you and Andrew Flanagan are doing a little mock draft for us, correct?
Absolutely. The first round's almost over.
All right. We'll have that up tomorrow afternoon for you to get ready for the draft at night. Matt McCullough gave his last look at Extreme Rules 2014, officially closing the book when it comes to Place to Be Nation in that special event. Titans Wrestling number 26 was back with the Callies, their 1980 award show. And lo and behold, Chad Campbell, a brand new episode of Where the Big Boys Play, looking at Wrestle War 1991. You want to pimp that at all?
It was a good show.
Well, thank you for the hard sell. Mike Mears had his latest column on the times are changing in the WWE, looking at the network and the different effects it's having and the star system in place and the young guys coming up. A really good look at the company and the state that they're in right now.
Yeah,
Russell Sellers had his new hotness, his picks for this week. Andrew Reich did his NBA semifinals previews. And, of course, Scott, your Raw recap is up as well. So visit PlaceToBeNation.com. You can hit us up at info@PlaceToBeNation.com if you have any questions about joining the staff or just want to share any feedback as well. All righty. You fellas ready to fire up Episode 2?
Let's do it.
Yep. Let's do it. Up. All right. We're all paused. And on the count of three, we'll hit play and we'll begin. 3, 2, 1. So we cold open inside the arena, the Manhattan Center. With a Fink is in the ring, and the crowd is rabid once again. And right back with Vince Macho and Rob Bartlett.
Ooh. Love Macho. That is
like a child molester. Macho looks
absolutely
my
like
God.
A child molester.
Okay, hang on.
Who,
I heard
Rob Bartlett does.
This is what I heard from the three people here. I heard Scott say he loves Macho's outfit. Chad said it was a hideous Macho outfit. And Steve Willey said Rob Bartlett looks like a child molester.
Yeah, Rob Bartlett looks like a child molester.
Wow, look at the pool.
Yeah, Repo.
Repo Man wipes out Macho Man and steals his hat and then takes off to the crowd.
Although his hat, I don't think matched the rest of his outfit anyway. So
I'm sorry. So makes it even better for Scott.
Yeah, I have no memory of that feud.
Whose picture was Rob Bartlett ripping up?
I don't know. Some guy with gray hair.
It was Heenan. It looked like Heenan to me.
Was it Heenan?
Was that like a Sinead O'Connor thing?
It may have been. When was that? Had that just happened?
Oh, no, that was like 3 years earlier. That was like 90.
Yeah, but then in WWE time, that's recent.
Yeah.
I thought it was Glenn Beck and an homage to Scott.
That's right. Kevin Kelly.
Rip that picture.
I'm not sure who. I thought it was Ted Turner at first. I couldn't tell.
Could have been. Yeah, it was really difficult to tell.
Like the row open. Wow, the row open with Damien. Well, not that they have much footage to put on it, so.
Get
pretty much the entire first episode.
Look at the ring girls.
Oh, that's a babe.
She's much better looking than the one in episode 1.
Now, these ring card girls are like a 2 out of 10.
Yeah, but for 93? I don't know. That might not be bad
for 93. The
Rooster? Here it is.
The Red Rooster!
Well, Terry Taylor. The terrific Terry Taylor.
Terrific. Yes, he went from a rooster to being terrific.
Yes, he was a terrific.
After he was the computer-mouse man of the 90s.
Terrific poultry.
The York Foundation.
So who do
All right, Scott, here we go. The Manhattan Center... Hammerstein Ballroom combo. Most iconic wrestling arena
currently outside of Madison Square Garden?
Well, we're not going to have dead air, so you think about that, Scott. Well, with five of us, we should never have dead air.
Yes. I'll have to think about that.
Okay.
While Perfect's in the ring.
We got a SummerSlam 89 rematch here. Mr. Perfect and Terry Taylor. A pretty cool match opened the second episode of Raw, actually. You wonder how much they were trying to cater towards some of the inside fans or the work rate fans.
The battle of the gimmick, right?
Yeah. Perfect.
You took my gimmick. You took my gimmick.
What do you guys think of the perfect mullet? It's kind of weak, but
yeah,
I wouldn't even call
it's
it.
It's got its own style.
I think it was
four,
long hair.
Four and a half
mullet. Yeah, you think even that high? I don't think I'd even go that high.
Terry Taylor's is very average too.
Terry Taylor, that's just weak.
Doesn't that sum up?
I like the greasy mullet. It's,
doesn't that sum up Terry Taylor though? Just average, average, yeah. Average mullet. Can't even get an above average.
You know what
mullet.
You know what?
Terrific
it is.
Terrific is an oversell.
Not bad. Mullet's not bad. Oh, Savage is back. Pissed off.
All disheveled. Maybe that could have been his nickname, the Average Mullet, instead of the Road Rooster.
Above average Terry Taylor.
Yes. I don't know if he was even above.
Barely average Terry
Taylor. Looking back, Steve Willie, I don't know if you could put Hammerstein in that class. If you were going to put another arena in the class with a garden, it would have to be Greensboro Coliseum.
Yeah, I was thinking currently. Like, I was trying to think of currently? Like, what. Yeah, because that was one that came to mind too. Like right now, starting at this time period with Raw, mm-hmm. and this building is used currently now for 21 years. It's been used for wrestling, WWF, ECW, Ring of Honor, and TNA. Going to go loser.
I'd say ECW Arena would be.
Yeah,
my
that was going to be my second pick.
Yeah, I was going to say ECW Arena too.
Yeah, that was where I was trying to. That's where I wanted the conversation to go. Like, which is more well known now?
More well known now, I'd say the Manhattan Center, because I think we've seen more in Hammerstein thanks to Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
Than we have the ECW Arena. I feel like the ECW Arena hasn't really been on
It's been the padlock's been on it for a while. I mean, they do still use it, but I think it's back to being called Viking Hall. Actually, I don't even think it's called ECW Arena anymore. Because WCW at this point wasn't really focusing on
in this point 93 or now?
Yeah, what do you mean, Steve? Do you mean now or?
I mean more now. Like, okay. Not definitely now, as in 2014.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
You know, the last few years. I think ECW Arena, like you said, really is not used that much anymore.
Mm. Yeah,
I think this might
I could see Hammerstein right now because, like I said, we saw a great show last year, WrestleMania weekend there. And as Kevin Kelly says, they still go there at least, three times a year probably? Mm-hmm. So.
Chad, what do you think?
It has a look to it, too. It has look to it that's different. You know, Madison Square Garden, I think this is, WWE screws this up, is that all their arenas look exactly the same. So Madison Square Garden kind of loses its luster.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Chad, what are your thoughts on Terry Taylor? As a guy that's watched a lot of NWA, WCW, and recently done the podcast on it. I mean, the kind of conventional wisdom is that he was always kind of screwed by the Red Rooster gimmick and it set him back. But is that a convenient excuse for a guy that never really clicked and found it?
So Terry Taylor, to me, to get to a baseball sabermetric term, is a good war player. He's an average replacement type performer for me. Not bad. Has good performances. I think actually his York Foundation stuff that me and Parker have been watching recently has been the most I've enjoyed him. But he's the kind of guy that, like Meltzer would really kind of pimp and be like, oh, these are some of the best guys in the U.S. or something like that. Like he had a series with Arn Anderson in late 90 on TV, and Meltzer and Observers was talking about how these are two of the better guys in the U.S. And those matches were decent, fine. Probably like 2 stars, 2.5. And, but certainly not spectacular. And I haven't got a indication with watching the Terry Taylor stuff that he's that good, really. He's kind of an average guy. I mean, I'd say average guy.
He's never going to hurt you. He's not going to put on a stinker of a match. but not someone that's going to capture imagination or really deliver a classic or a guy that you can count on to ever get over in any way.
Yeah, I don't even know what his best match of all time would be. Maybe the Mid-South Flair match, but I don't even think that's that good of a match. It's like 38 minutes, but a lot of chin locks in that one.
So. And that's a tough match to watch too, Chad, because it's on the Mid-South DVD. And they're in like that tent and the lighting's bad. And it's hard to really enjoy that match, sadly. It's definitely, I think it's better than it probably seems, just because the ambiance is just brutal.
Any early thoughts on this match, Roger?
The Perfect looks good. I really, really dislike Terry Taylor. always have. I mean, I think I wrote in one of my columns that one of the joys of one of my assignments for Cowboys Goes to Class was a Survivor Series match with the Rooster, and he got his ass handed to him, and I loved every second of it. So, but Mr. Perfect, it's fantastic. It's just, Taylor always seems to be going at about 3/4 speed to me, and he just doesn't do it for me at all.
Surprised we're getting a match this long, Steve, out of the gate here?
Oh, yeah, especially compared to last episode where it was just a quick, Coco Beware bumping for Yoko.
Yes,
this is already a pretty decent length match.
Yeah.
And at some point, as we were talking, Bobby Heenan called in and it sounded like he was arguing with Rob Bartlett about not being on the show.
It's like they knew by not having Bobby, they were kind of probably screwing up a little bit. So they tried to just keep him in mind because I'm sure they assumed he'd be showing up at some point to commentate. I can't believe they had long-term plans for Rob Bartlett. Decent power bomb.
Like Bartlett, was he? Compare him, Bubba the Love Stone. Somebody like him would be bigger than Bartlett was, right? I don't know.
I think Scott's probably our best insight into this, since you were the closest to the area. I mean, was he fairly well known, or Bubba has his own show though, so he's more like he was almost like the Robin Quivers to Imus, right?
Oh, like Artie Lang. Or
he
something.
Was like Jackie the Joke Man Martlin and Baba Booey, and he was like at that level.
Okay.
Bubba the Love Sponge was definitely more well known.
Well, this is a different comparison. Bubba's the host. Yeah.
Barlow, like Will Cow or Man Cow, whatever the cow was that argued
Man Cow.
I just still didn't understand where they got the Rob Bartlett. There was so many other people. I mean,
she got the Mad Dog.
No, they were together at this point, right? Yeah.
Terry Taylor, Mikey. What does he do well?
One of my favorite moves.
The next snap?
Next snap,
yeah. What did you guys say that power bomb earlier? We didn't comment on it, Terry Taylor. So that was decent.
Yeah, it was like a gut wrench to a power bomb.
Yeah.
Oh, look at this.
Ric Flair coming out.
You Andy Gibb.
Only for his matches. Oh, nice knee by Taylor to drive Perfect to the floor thanks to the interference or the distraction. Oh, now Flair is beating the piss out of Perfect on the floor as they're starting to build towards the climax of their feud that had kicked off back in November when Perfect turned on him to team up with Macho Man.
So is
Flair just laying into him here.
Is Perfect a face at this point?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Sorry for my ignorance.
No, that's why you're here to learn.
It was only for a few weeks.
The end of November he had turned.
Yeah, because he... Yeah, it was the two prime times before Survivor Series when he accepted the request of Savage after Warrior bolted.
I like how he just quickly pins him and then runs right after Flair.
It was a great Perfect.
He gets popped over and over again. Flair.
Yeah, Perfect Flex was a great fit. Just
God Almighty, 0-3,
rough around the edges here.
Oof!
They should get the bikini on, not the full swimsuit, but. So she goes.
I don't think I've ever seen her wearing an Eichel Pro thing.
I'd like to see her in a Zubaz pants and a winter jacket, frankly.
I mean, that's good looking for you, though, right, Willie? Out in the Midwest? I mean, that's like a 9 for you, right? out in Wisconsin.
I didn't realize.
Are we reviewing Raw or House of Horror?
Well, there's something I didn't realize. I totally forgot that the Savage Slim Jim thing actually started in WWF. I thought that didn't start until WCW.
Really?
How far back did he start doing it?
Oh, at least.
Right, in 93, right?
No, before that even.
Really?
Yeah.
I barely remember that. I thought he did it in...
I think so.
Brett's not wearing the Eiko Pro. He looked really weird with that Eiko Pro tank top on. I couldn't see him doing any of that stuff.
Here's Brett.
You could see Stu. Don't take any of that powder crap.
No, that's a champion right there, guys.
That's right. Face of the franchise at the moment.
To me, this is like the classic Brett picture I think of when I think of this run. Like, still looking, you know, pretty young and in shape with the jacket on and the belt. This is like the official 93 promo picture. So Ultimate Warrior was actually the original Slim Jim choice, 1991.
Oh, wow.
Let's see. Oh, until the late 90s advertising. Until the late 90s, the product included commercials that featured Randy Savage as a spokesperson. It doesn't say when he started, though.
I just don't remember it in
Do you want to hear the ingredients or not? Does anyone here eat Slim Jims?
Yeah, I
like Slim Jims. Like, I can only imagine.
No, it's probably like hear it.
Fucking beef farts.
All right, anyone who doesn't want to hear it, you may want to listen or go on mute or something for a minute. Mute, whatever. Take your headphones off. Made of beef, which is categorized into 8 grades of quality. The bottom 3, utility, cutter, and canner, are usually the processed foods and come in older steers, partially ossified vertebrae, and tougher tissue. Mechanically separated chicken, corn and wheat protein, lactic acid starter culture, dextrose, salt, sodium nitrate, and hydrolyzed soy. So there you go.
Interesting.
One tasty snack.
The sodium nitrate is what keeps it from turning gray.
And pig snout.
Well, you get the ossified vertebrae in there, you're all set.
Ossified vertebrae.
I think it's what Kobe Bryant took when he came back for that injury.
Yes. A lot of good at it.
Injected the ossified vertebrae. Anyone have the volume up here, Steve Willie? Is Brett, I'm sure he's talking about the Rumble with Razor.
Yeah, my volume is down. I wanted to listen to the Slim Jim ingredients. That's what people turn into the podcast for.
Slim Jim ingredients? Roger, what did you think? I mean, you said Brett, you thought was the greatest champion to date. Was he always one of your favorites immediately when he won the belt?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I remember Hart Foundation days. I loved him then, and you know, it's kind of a similar to Sean in that he grew, at least in my mind, kind of grew. You know, it was on my favorite tag team, and then became kind of my favorite singles wrestler. And you know, they're similar guys in that they're not, you know, they're not huge, but I think they're good in ring workers, and they do, you know, they're both great at what they do. And my opinion. How can you like wrestling and not like Bret Hart, right?
Where's he on your list, Chad? I know you have unique views.
He's okay.
Not bad.
Hinchy.
Yeah, I'm a big Bret Hart fan. I think the one thing with Bret Hart that's kind of a little bit weird to think about is his singles run is not that long. I pretty much ended almost right at Montreal.
Mm-hmm.
His WCW run is so scattered and just not very good. So you're really only talking about late 91, mid to late 91 through November 97. So it's about a 6-year run. And then if you tag on his early stuff from 1989, and it's very early, 1986 or whatever. But so it's kind of interesting. But as we'll see, in the first couple of years, he was having some really good matches on Monday Night Raw. We think about the 1-2-3 Kid match in July of 94. I think that's probably one of the best Raw matches of the first 2 or 3 years.
And here we go. Marty Jannetty making his Raw debut. It'll be interesting to see how many guys they cycle through before we start getting repeat appearances and performances.
Mm.
See who he's fighting here with young Jobber Drew, the short straw to face Marty.
No close up. Ron Cumberledge. Oh, that guy's tall. Jesus. Big dude.
Before Marty came out, too, he had a really creepy Headlock for Hunger promo with Marty, with Paul Bearer and Undertaker.
Yeah. Are those the guys you want promoting the charity for eating? I don't know. It's kind of odd. I don't know.
This guy's tights look just like Razor Ramon's shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. This is Glenn Ruth.
No.
Yeah. Going to be Headbanger Mosh. He's got hair though. Kind of funny. I mean, it made sense. he said he's tall and kind of in shape. It looks like a guy that could have went somewhere. So,
don't see any tattoos either, do you?
No.
Who did he become?
Wow.
Who did he become, guys?
One of the headbangers, Mosh of the headbangers.
Yeah. Can't tell.
And of course, the alumnus of the Place to Be podcast.
That's right.
Chatter.
Nice. Got the spider on there.
Pretty interesting. So our first, that's something that's also fun to track on these Raws in 93, 94, all the local kind of Northeast jobbers that would eventually become known guys. See how many of those crop up as we move along. Ruth, kind of our first one here.
He's on, and it's on. It says it on the wiki page, too. He made a number of appearances for the World Wrestling Federation in the early 90s, including a losing effort against Marty Jannetty on the second ever episode of Raw.
There you go.
Thanks for ruining the match, Scott.
Cowboy goes to school. Glenn Ruth's early matches.
Well, you know, they're all spoilers to him, anything you say. So they did a lot of the phone interviews in these early Raws.
Yeah, I was just seeing it, too. The second one of the evening, Shawn Michaels on the phone.
Yeah, they did that a lot. They had people call in. He's usually a shitty connection.
Oh, speaking of mullets, Cowboy, what do you think of Mike Chioda's?
Who's that?
The referee.
One. One and
it's a starter mullet.
Yeah, it was better. In the late 80s, it was better, actually.
He's got to commit. He really needs to commit to it. He's kind of living in between.
He's got like a learner's permit.
You either go or you don't.
It's a learner's permit for a mullet. Doesn't have the full license yet. Mm. Marty moving very well here, and Glenn hanging with him, giving him a match. We haven't really had a true contender yet for most of the 90s looking. I mean, I guess it's Marty right now, just thanks to the neon tights, but weak crop so far.
Glenn's wearing some like stunning Steve Austin kind of 1991.
True. Would you argue he's more early 90s? I mean, does he have a mustache? I feel like if he had a mustache with that haircut, he'd be very 90s right now.
I still say Marty has him beat with the tights, the hair, and he's probably wearing that gaudy earring somewhere.
Yeah, I think Marty's looking late 80s. I think he's looking similar to Crush.
I think Glenn Ruth is looking a little late 80s too, like someone you'd see in a movie set like Miami or something. With that.
Yeah.
Those tights and that.
It's a salmon colored sport jacket.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I have a Crockett and Tubbs vibe here.
Interesting. Interesting here, guys. The dark matches for this show, or the taping, the Mania taping earlier in this show, Virgil beat Iron Mike Sharp with a side Russian leg sweep. And during the bout, the crowd chanted, "Virgil sucks," and "Let's go, Mike."
Oh, poor Virgil.
An Iron Mike Sharp face turn was in the works.
Racist crowd.
You think they regretted going to this crowd in week two? Like, oh, shit, what do we do? Poor Virgil.
Well, they're handing Vladimir some shirts because he's got the headlock for a Hunger shirt on. Last week, he had the Ico Pro. He's a plant.
Guess he's in a good spot. We haven't seen the guy with the Bob Backlund shirt, right? I think he pops up a little bit later. He'll be at every episode for a while. The Bob Backlund Real World Champion yellow shirt. I think we had a few episodes till he shows up.
One thing about Rufus, he doesn't look that in shape here. For what you think about like a WWF wrestler looking like, even though he was, I guess, just a jobber doing some spots, but kind of has an odd look with that. I think it's the tights he's wearing, but
sure.
Runs off.
He does look. He looks older than you would think.
Yeah,
bit of a gut hanging over the tights.
Don't
like,
we all?
Old. Let me look and see how old he was here, because he cannot be that old.
No, he looks it though. He's a guy that's reversed age. He's got the Benjamin Button going, the reverse aging.
Yeah, 1969, so he was 23.
24 here, or 23.
Yeah, June 13th. That's crazy.
Kind of looks like that actor, Tim Stack. You guys know him? He was in Seinfeld. He was the optometrician. Is that eyeglass? What's the eye doctor? Optometrist.
Obstetrician.
The one that sells George the women's glasses, that actor. You know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, I don't know who you're talking about.
Remember he had that show, was it Son of the Beach or whatever? Remember he was like a lifeguard?
I don't know if you guys caught that mustache in the crowd, but that guy wins the 90s award.
And Marty wins the band Rocker Dropper. They let him use it here. Of course, the move that had paralyzed the jobber. So Charles Austin, was that his name?
Yes.
And yeah. Austin had sued the company and sued Jannetty, and they let him go back to using it, though. Kind of surprising.
So he legitimately paralyzed another wrestler with that move?
Yeah, it wasn't really Jannetty's fault, though. The guy tucked his head, which he's not supposed to do. So the guy kind of fucked the move up, but the court found Jannetty and the company at fault. So it ended up being like, it was like $26 million or something absurd.
Jeez. Savage still doesn't have his hat back.
Still has his hair.
Repo Man, he could at least comb his hair and clean up a little bit. But
my God.
That's a hell of a vest with Robbie B as well.
Pedophile.
I think it's the black button up.
Well, we continue some clips from Superstars.
What a terrible announced team.
Well, Savage really is great. Oh, you don't like Savage?
Savage is great. Savage is awful.
Oh, God. You are the worst.
You don't like Savage, Chad? I like Savage announcing like in 91 right after the wedding. But
no, he's great in 93 and
94. Nah.
You're not allowed to have any fun with Chad around.
No, I just Gordon Solie. Doink's up. I love Doink.
He wants to hear Gordon Solie and Bob Caudle calling super.
No, I don't like Gordon Solie either. So
Colin, you don't like
cut
anyone.
Cut that shit down.
Well, look at that.
I'm glad you said that. Gordon Solie, I think, is overrated, too.
Yeah.
Well, Crush has, like, the HGH gut. He's all jacked and just a water weight gut hanging. Whoa.
That's Wisconsin right there. That's Wisconsin, like 97.
I think we should look up exactly where this attack took place.
What is Doink hitting him with?
It was a fake arm.
Fake arm.
Okay. Yeah, oh, okay. I see the hand now. Okay. Good. Good.
I have to look up that superstar sleeping now.
So dumb of Crush to just like turn his back. I mean, what an idiot. He kind of deserved it.
Doink the clown incident from the previous week.
I think this took place. I'm scanning Graham here, Scott.
I
think it was the end of 92, actually, the taping, probably.
Oh.
Because the first 93 tapings were for after the Rumble.
116, 130. Yeah, maybe not.
Let's see, that's a challenge it's taping.
Bill Alfonso.
Oh, yeah, Bill. This is his house.
So this would have been the 116? No.
Here are these sleeping parents again.
Has it been the 1-9 superstars?
Would it be this one? Oh, my God. Is it this one on December 15th in Madison, Wisconsin?
No, Madison was the challenge taping. Was that on challenge or superstars? No, superstars. Green Bay, Wisconsin, Steve Willie, December 14th, 1992.
I told you.
There it is.
I told you.
Oh, that is so good.
That's Willie's wife.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
Crush defeated Dave Siegfried via submission.
Like that. I still see people like that now.
After the bout, Crush had a confrontation with Doink, and the island began twisting his arm, and Doink threw a ball in the kid's face at ringside. There it is. Home of the HGH gut. Green Bay, Wisconsin.
I can't believe that. It was actually Green Bay. It's awesome.
Savage looks like one of the fabulous ones right now. This freaking hair. He looks like Steve Kern. Fuck. His hair's all fucking messed up. You rarely saw Savage without a hat on.
This Bartlett snapping on a Slim Jim is the last thing he needs.
Yeah.
The joke on these shows is on Sean Mooney because no one's letting him in either.
Yeah, he's freezing.
He's constantly outside.
Poor bastard. Middle of January.
Middle of January.
Yeah. Here's Repo Man. This is a little trivia for this is a layup for us, so we'll ask it of Roger. Do you know which former wrestler Repo Man was portrayed?
What was that? Who he was before Repo Man?
Yeah.
No idea.
He was a Smash from Demolition.
Oh, look at him. Yep. No, he wasn't. He's Crusher Khrushchev in the Russian.
That
now that you say it, I can see it. Yep. I love Demolition.
There you go.
Good intro music for Demolition.
I think Repo Man had good entrance music as well.
Mm.
No, of course not.
Well, Demolition's on another plane from Repo.
Well, I'm not comparing it. I just said
that's
gonna
be a Listomania coming up.
The music, yeah, we're gonna do that at some point. The playing
down the music.
You ever lived to have seen Josh Richards' Repo Man theme song dance? That's a must see.
Look at Steve Kern getting so angry.
Man, he's getting pissed.
Yeah, Repo's really getting riled up. Over a hat.
Repo Man, he looks a bit like Farva from Super Troopers.
Yeah, he does look like Farva.
He's a shitty ankle fighting over a hat. Oh, he's putting it on. I love it. Repo Man's the man.
I hate that son of a bitch.
Let me tell you something, brother. Put on that hat.
I think that's my next movie on Netflix, Steve.
Get your lace on my hat.
Or was that Roger that said that? Who said the Super Troopers?
That was Roger.
Oh, okay. I think I have that movie on my Netflix list.
You haven't seen it, Scott?
No.
Go check it out right now.
Watch it tonight.
Yeah. I am now that you've made a reference.
Right meow?
No, not right now.
Not right meow.
I mean, Savage is losing his shit.
What, is that the next
I'm just absolutely mesmerized
viewing?
That these two are about to have a blood feud because he took his hat.
This is an epic promo. Repo really laid it in.
It's going back and forth with each other.
To be fair, his hair was a mess. He needed that hat.
Yes.
Yeah.
Stuff that happens in middle school cafeterias every single day.
In Green Bay.
Great to Gene.
I like how the green screen for last week's Rumble promo was daytime. Now it's nighttime.
Well, we're getting closer. We're on the eve of the Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
The minute, what does he usually say? Did Gene have
get caught in long line, or what is it? Don't get caught on the phone. Being on hold.
I thought it was like we're closing in on the something. I
forget. Closing in on Sunday night, January the 24th.
Nope. I forget what it is.
So is that the week that they had off of the NFL playoffs?
No, I think there was a game in the morning. And that's why the Rumble was at 4. And then
they played
the
at 9 a.m. Yeah.
It's like a split.
Yoko pulled double duty.
I think it was the NFC wildcard game, and then they went right to the next game. So like the Cowboys won in the morning.
Yep.
It was like a softball tournament, and they had to go play at night.
They play at night. They had to refill the
gear. We needed a Razor promo here. I was wondering.
Well, we had it on TV last week.
Yeah, but I'm just saying this week we need another final sale.
Yeah, you're right. I like how his chains always manage to look the same. Was it just like one giant chain welded together?
Yeah, how many chains do we think that is, actually?
They
always rings.
The chains always seem to stay in the same...
Looks like three chains to me.
Hmm. Or not two chains? Yeah.
And of course, guys, you know,
we
can't take for granted here that this was the first Rumble where the winner would become number one contender at WrestleMania 9. Yeah, big deal.
To stop and appreciate that. Do not take it for granted.
Do not take it for granted.
You never know when they may take that step away, Scott. Do not take it for granted.
Do not take it for granted.
Undertaker in the Rumble. Berserker showing up. Here we go. IRS.
Berserker a bum.
Yoko. Let's see how many guys they've announced here, if they've pretty much done the whole field. Yeah, perfect.
Flair. He wasn't on last week. Papa Shango.
I love that Typhoon picture.
DiBiase.
I don't know, Scott always ends up ahead of us here. He's ahead of me.
That's what you're saying.
I started same time as everybody else.
You have super speed internet.
Super speed internet.
A little faster.
Teal belt.
Well, that was like 10 guys. You know?
Did you guys catch a Ubu this time?
Yes, I did.
Marty and Sean. We haven't had any other matches announced yet. Let's see if they give us the final undercard.
Sherry looking pretty sexy.
Who? It's Beverly Brothers and Steiners, right? Isn't
yep.
that who ended up facing? Yeah.
And then Boss Man and Bigelow.
Right. Yeah.
I think that was the opener, if I remember correctly.
Let's see how old was Sherry at this time. She was still looking pretty good.
Right.
She was looking pretty. I agree. Looking pretty hot. 93. Probably in her late 30s, I would think.
I'm going to disagree with you guys on Sherry.
Come on.
Sorry.
1958, so...
She was
35. 34, 35, yeah.
Yeah, that was close, mid-30. Yeah.
She looks about 10, I think she looks...
I was going to say, I have to... I mean, I think... Like,
yeah,
if
she looks pretty old for 35.
Yeah, if you told me she was like 46 and looked like that, I'd be with you guys.
Yeah,
but.
Yeah, 35,
Well, when you went out with Jake Roberts or whatever, hung out with those guys for the amount of years.
It seems to
have really running around the street.
She's a 9 compared to the ring card girls, though, Scott. So
that goes without saying.
She's
good
a Wisconsin God. 11.
Oh,
yes.
He's looking for that hat.
My God, maybe the cage match.
It's not in the taxi.
I think we have another scale to rank the women on, the Wisconsin scale.
The Sconson scale.
I wonder if Macho will end up going to that bar D'Amato drug us into blasting the rap music.
That's right. I forgot about that freaking place.
Oof. Oh, good God. They're not even showing her face. They've been listening to us. Nobody wants to know what she looks like.
This episode seemed to have more filler. I mean, we had the long Brett promo, which we don't have the volume turned up. But
longer matches, though, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, the Taylor match was long. I don't know if that was that longer than the Max Moonshawn match, though. I'm not sure. On the first episode.
I can look that up for us.
I feel like the Max Moonshawn match was longer. You talking about the Terry Taylor Perfect match?
Yeah.
Max Moonshawn was 9:56. That was our longest match to date because 9:28 was the opener of this one.
Yeah.
So Sean and Max. I feel like someone should be our official scribe of these and keep a track of these fun facts. Scott, why don't you keep track of the match, longest match? We'll see what, as we go along, if anything eclipses 9:56.
Okay.
Sean, yeah, that'll be good time. Because our next show will have a clearly probably a front runner match that'll probably hold the crown, I would think, for a little bit at least.
I think we should be like keeping records as well of Raw performers.
Oh
Jesus.
Too much work.
You guys are no fun. Ric Flair in the ring now against Tito Santana.
Keto.
It's a kind of a cool match for it. This is I like the matchups on this Raw. Like perfect Terry Taylor's pretty good.
Not something you would see in a pay per view, not something you've seen before.
I feel like we had
so angry.
I feel like we had Flair Tito on weren't they on like a summer were they on SummerSlam Spectacular or something like that?
92. Well, they fought at the Royal Albert Hall.
Right.
That may be what you're thinking about.
No, I think they were on the 1992 like SummerSlam preview show. Yeah.
I don't remember that. Maybe.
I'll check it out.
I watched that Royal Albert Hall match not too long ago, and it was a weird Flair performance. That was like pretty much his first big kind of profile match in the company, and I thought he looked really weak in it, like begging off from Tito. I mean, Tito had just become the Matador, but still, you had the real world champion coming in. He was bitching out huge.
Where was that, JR? Oh, here it is. Yeah. Yep. August 11th. In Nashville, yeah. Ric Flair beat Mr. Santana. Ric Flair with Perfect defeated Tito via submission with a figure four at around 16:30.
Yeah.
Nice.
Wow.
I think I have that on tape somewhere. You a big Tito guy, Roger?
I don't know if they fall in NWA.
Yeah, I love Tito Santana.
What did you think of his transition to the Matador?
Not as big of a fan of the Matador thing. He was in Strike Force, correct?
Yes.
With the model.
Yep.
Yeah, great team. I think that was Tito Santana's peak.
So you got to watch some of his. Maybe we'll have to see if some of the house show stuff gets on the network eventually with his matches with Valentine. You'll see the real Santana peak, Roger. If we go back to like '84 when he fought Greg Valentine.
All right. Yeah. Looking forward to it.
There's two in particular. I remember. Sorry, Steve. I remember them for the. I've reviewed them for the board. He had one in '84 from MSG. That was a war, and then they had like a throwback fight in like late '88 in LA. That was like this awesome out of nowhere Tito Valentine retro fight.
Mm.
Go ahead, Steve.
Oh yeah, I was just looking for a Google search on the Tito and Flair, and came up with someone who had a 19 disc Tito Santana
collection.
I know
who it is.
That person is Chad Campbell.
No, the guy we're thinking of has an 87 disc set of sensational Sherry matches.
Do you really have that?
Two discs of Valentine Santana.
I do have the Tito set, legit.
Is it good?
Yeah, I mean it's a good kind of chronicle of his career. I don't know if you're looking at the match listings, Willie, but I think there's like five or six matches versus Valentine on that. That's where I watched that series.
Hmm.
Yes, and then there's a separate set that has, about 10 of them.
He's definitely a guy. He's definitely a guy. The more you see, the more you really appreciate Tito.
Yeah, even watching him work the tag like with Strikeforce, he was a really, really good tag worker. I mean, I think he's a guy that was hurt for me as a kid, because by the time I first started watching in 90 and 91 was right as he transitioned to the Matador, and like they made fun of him so much on commentary, I kind of thought of him as just like a, you know, a loser. But once I went back and watched him, I really dug him a lot.
Yeah,
I started watching around when the Valentine feud was happening, so I have memories of that, and then catching back up with it on, I think it was like the Intercontinental DVD set that came out a few years ago, the 3-disc set.
It's a good set.
Why is everyone picking on Macho Man tonight? Flair's got words for him.
Flair's had this same old leathery look. I mean, for a long time. Was there a point where he didn't look like a little old and a little leathery?
Oh, 76.
Blair? Yeah.
76.
I mean, maybe the 70s when he was a little more pudgy, but at least since like 1982, I mean, I know the Kerry Von Erich Cage match in World Class, he looks, you know, same basic younger version of what we see here.
Pretty good comeback by Tito here, showing some nice little fire.
Yeah.
Crowd getting revved up.
It's a good little match. How long is this one? Do you have it?
Well, I'm trying to stay spoiler free, so let's do that.
Excuse me.
We'll check it out at the end. I like to go into these things fresh, you know? Especially for Roger. He's never seen these. There's no clue. I can't ruin the illusion for him.
Much appreciated. I was already had the Jannetty match ruined.
Because Glenn Ruth had a legit chance, of course.
Classic Flair poke to the eye there and getting caught up top. Tito chucks him down to the mat. Tito was, I mean, a big part of his being so great, too, is the is his comebacks, which I thought were always fantastic.
He's got a lot of fire always.
Yeah. Flair flop. We get all the Flair classics
in here. Yeah, that was a weird Flair flop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, not a lot of room on the floor there.
My favorite one for Flair. My favorite thing that Flair does is when he takes the 3 steps and then falls on his face.
That's the Flair flop. What's the corner one called, Chad?
Flair flip.
Flair flip. That's right. Huh. Yeah, that's the Flair flop, Raj, when the steps fall and falls. I'm surprised no one's lifted that, like in the modern era. It's like he's done it anytime.
I feel like Dolph Ziggler's done it a couple times.
Yeah, maybe. Tito.
Flying burrito coming up here.
Oh, yeah, fine.
Although that wasn't his finisher anymore. Yeah, that wasn't his finisher. He did the El Paso de Muerte. He punched the guy in the gut, make him bend over, and then do the flying punch to the back of the head.
Here we go.
Come on, Tito. What are you doing?
Oh, my God.
Flair giving him a lot of offense, though. So. It's perfect to ruin the match.
That's a payback from earlier on in the evening.
Oh, they're really going at it, huh?
Wow. So this one went 8-14.
And this is the main event?
Flair Tito was the main event for tonight's show, yep.
Now, what did they call the official result here? Flair wins by DQ or what?
No contest.
Say? Oh, how the fuck is this not a no contest? It's clearly a DQ win for Flair.
Yeah. Well,
terrible officiating.
Wow, that was a nasty bump. Was that Patterson?
That was Patterson, yeah.
Yeah, we got Patterson, Sarge, Kyoto. Joe Morrell, who's this guy in the tie? I don't know who that is with the tie and the white shirt.
Tony Garea was out earlier in the evening. Just almost choked myself.
By the way, during this match, it was noted that Bret Hart was on live with Regis and Kathy Lee coming up on Wednesday. I think I taped that. I have that on tape somewhere. Tito getting help to the back. Pretty wild. Wild finish here to episode 2.
We're just lingering on the curtain here for a long time.
Back to break and back for our final segment. Let's see what we're going to wrap up with here.
There's some people coming out of the...
Now they're coming back out again.
Oh, Pat, that is the worst sweater ever. Hey, is that Pat Patterson? Boy, did he get fat.
That is definitely an old man sweater right there.
Who's the guy with the tie?
What is, they're still brawling.
Yeah.
Shit.
Who, that little guy right there?
The guy you were talking about, Steve? The one with the tie? Is that who you're talking about? Or was that you, Roger?
I don't know who that was.
That wasn't me.
Oh.
Must have been Steve.
Yeah, who's the guy with Guerrero, the hair was that was pulling back the... perfect?
I'm not sure. Graham doesn't have it listed. So Flair is challenging Mr. Perfect to a loser leaves the company match next week. Said Perfect doesn't have the guts, would never beat him. And this was really sad at the time because you knew where it was headed.
Oh. Mm.
You don't want to accept
Flair
it.
Flair promos on mute are amazing.
Screaming his head off. I think at the time we were calling, I think I had already started calling the Journal Line news.
Just gave a lady in the front row a kiss.
So I think I knew that Flair was leaving, and I didn't want to accept it, though. It was really, really sad. Is that, Matt, is that, one, is that episode taped? Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it was a taped episode.
Yeah. Which is crazy. So it ends up, it's the night after the Rumble, and they pre-taped a big-time match like that, which is just nuts to think about. So I think it definitely was spoiled for me on the journey.
Yeah, I remember it was spoiled for me as well.
Yeah.
And I don't know how it was really, because you know, I didn't really have access to internet or anything like that. I mean, really, there wasn't much of an internet at that point.
Well, I had two sources. I had that Journal Line, and then I had that local public access show with Cody Boines, where he just sat in a public access studio, pretty much read the Observer and took calls. So I had a lot of stuff spoiled for me that way.
Well, I remember that where the big boys play.
It aired, I know, right? I think it was Parv. It aired like Mondays at noon, so it was awesome during the summer. That would be my appointment viewing.
Oh, my God.
Cody Boines.
I remember some of the tabloids carrying wrestling as well.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe I wonder if that was. I could run to the local drugstore and read through them.
There's still the article. There's still the column in the, I think, I don't know if it's the Daily News or the New York Post. The wrestler. I think, or the Slammer. That was his name, the Slammer. And he actually does a column in the, I can't remember which one. It's either the Post or the Daily News.
I don't see Cody Boines on Facebook. Oh, right here. What's this? Cody Boines Talk Wrestling. Apparently he wrestled in 2003. He pinned our buddy Brutal Bob Evans. Cody Boines, wrestling talk show host.
That sucks.
Oh, somebody's got a brave.
Yeah, this is shame to come so quickly after the start of this feud that they're already going to a loser leaves town match.
All right, apparently Brutal Bob knows Cody Boines. I wish I knew this before he was on the Kevin Kelly show because we could have talked about it. Hmm.
Savage is still looking like Steve Kern, pissed off.
World War III, he says, because of his hat.
So we getting that next week, too?
Yes, I believe so.
I think they, I made conclusion to the Savage hat angle. I remember nothing of that.
Now he's towing. Is that Savage's car he's towing, too?
That'd be awesome.
Pulling his
put him over his the real heel.
Repo Man's the hottest heel going into the Royal Rumble.
All right, guys. We'll start with you, Willie. What are we grading this week's episode?
Oh, man. Trying to compare it to the first one. I'd say a little higher. Six and a half. It was a decent Perfect match, a decent Flair Tito match, and even the squash match was kind of good. Less matches, but a little more action.
Yeah, I think we got more action. We get the hot finish. I think we got more storyline progression than we did week one. So I'd say they improved. A lot of times the second episode of things will take a little step back from episode one, but I think they did a good job building and kind of keeping the excitement going. What did you think, Raj?
Yeah, I agree. 7.5. Give the extra half for a Terry Taylor loss. I always give an extra half for a Terry Taylor loss. I thought it was great.
Chad?
I would go a 2, not enough in-ring action for me.
Really? Because I had two pretty long matches.
I'm just joking. Jesus. I would go a
2.
I'd actually say an 8. I thought this really utilized the episodic nature of what they were trying to portray, bookended by both the Perfect Flair feud and this Repo Savage feud that came out of nowhere. And you still get some hype in between where you have the Intercontinental title and then the Bret Hart promo, too, leading into the Rumble. Good lead-in.
And they did a really nice job, too, telling that Savage Repo story over the course of the episode. Like, they set it up nicely. They called back to it throughout the show and closed with it.
Yeah.
They did a really nice job building that up to make it actually a match you may want to watch next week.
Agreed.
I'll give them this. They do a really good job of spacing out everything during just an hour.
Mm. Yes.
And it really, compared to the three-hour shows that we get now, I mean, everything kind of flows nicely.
Scott, you agree?
Yeah, I agree. I would give this a 7.5, almost an 8.
Yeah.
I thought the storytelling was great. It was a great go-home for the Rumble. Nice Brett interview. I thought I'm just digging the perfect Flair stuff. I mean, I'm upset because of the inevitable, but I thought it was a great show. That was better than the opener. I would say an 8.
All right, who's our 90s man of the week here?
I think the guy with the sweater. Or was it the guy with the mustache?
Is Patterson? It's the mustache in the crowd.
Yeah.
You got the guy he had like a some type of, looked like maybe a hockey jersey or like a sweatshirt on, and just a fantastic mustache.
No, Pat was the 40s man of the week this week with that terrible sweater.
Or do we go to our Green Bay girl, from the Superstars flashback?
Well, she's this year round every year.
I'm probably seeing her tomorrow at work, so I should.
At the motel. Scott, I think you should mark down our winners as well for the 90s. So we have, who's it? Who's our first one?
Coco. And guy in the crowd with a mustache, man in the crowd.
And our mullet of the night, do we have one?
Perfect.
Perfect or Jannetty?
I think Jannetty's is better than Perfect's.
Jannetty's is a little feathery.
Raj is the mullet man. What do you think?
I'm going to go perfect.
All right.
It's a little different. I told you, I have a respect for the greasy mullet.
And the curls. You like the curls.
All right, gentlemen, that brings an end to our live watch. I hope you guys had fun. It was a good time.
Yes.
To a brisk Raw episode. So what do you think? Are we going to stick with Raw? We want to see how these progress?
But we definitely got to do the next weeks.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I want to see how they go. I think we have cool things to track week to week. It's Scott, something new for us because doing the pay-per-views, especially at this time, there's so much changes from pay-per-view to pay-per-view. So it'll be cool to track week to week how many guys show up, who disappears, who has a brief run. So a lot of fun. So I think this will be our monthly check-in. We'll stop here and watch a couple Raws and hopefully have you three back. And if you can't make it, we'll cycle some fresh voices in as well. So
does the Royal Rumble happen before next week's Raw?
Yeah, so you might want to watch that, Roger.
Right, that's what I was thinking. Right. Perfect.
You got a month to watch it, so make sure you check it out. And that's good. So anyone who wants to hear it too, if you want to watch Rumble 93 when we come back and do this next month, we'll recap what happened on that show for you too. All right, guys. Great job, Scott. We are done till Monday. We'll be back with King of the Ring 2002. Mm-hmm. Next Wednesday, we have episode 9, correct, of the main event? Yes.
Episode 9 of the main event.
Do we know who's on yet? Are you still working on that?
Look, it looks like I try to alternate between regular Core 4 and adding a guest. So next week, I think we'll have the full Core 4.
Okay. And, so that's a must-miss then, because Andrew Reichbeck.
I'll make sure to bring my pillow and put everything on mute so I can get my rest.
We'll be very cerebral.
Yes, very cerebral. And on episode 9 of the Kevin Kelly Show, we will be having Diamond Dallas Page on, hopefully. Hopefully he comes through this time. We'll have to rearrange things. And then 2 weeks after that, Roger, I don't know if you heard this news, we're having the play-by-play voice of the Boston Celtics, Sean Grandy, will be on the Kevin Kelly Show.
Fantastic.
Should be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to that. So, all right, Scott, we're out. We'll talk to everyone Monday, King of the Ring 02. Until then, take care. Nothing snarky with all this snark on the line?
I just got dreams of Wisconsin women.
Yes. They take up a lot of room in the futures of your mind.
I think Chad already had the prostitute knocking on the door. Rogers giving her the Wi-Fi. Place dumb, huh? Drunk on Chris, mommy on E. Can't keep a little model hands off me. Both in the club, high singing on key. And I wish I never met her. It gets better, ordered another round. It's about to go down. Got 6 model chicks, 6 bottles of Chris, 4 velvet ass, got weed everywhere. What do you say, me, you and your Chloe glasses? Uh-huh. Go somewhere private where we could discuss fashion. Like Prada blouse, Gucci bra, okay. Filth Mon jeans, take that off. Give it to me. Give me that funk, that sweet, that nasty, that gushy stuff. But don't bullshit me. Come on. Give me that funk, that sweet, that nasty, that gushy stuff. Give it to me. Give me that funk, that sweet, that nasty, that gushy stuff. But don't bullshit me. Mama, give me that funk, that sweet, that nasty, that gushy stuff. Yeah. Save the narrative, you saving it for marriage. Let's keep it real, ma, you saving it for carriage. You wanna see how far I'ma go, how?
much I'ma spend, but you already know. 6-0, stingy with the Niro. Might buy you crisp, but that about it. Might light your wrist, but that about it. Fuck it, I might wipe you and buy you nice whips. Mom, but you really gotta ride nice dick. Know how to work your hips and your head's priceless. Profess your love to Hov and I never let you down. Get you bling like the Neptune sound. Okay, hot hole, too hot to hold. Ladies love me long time like Tupac soul. Only way to roll, jiggering two ladies, I'm too cold. Motorola, two-way page, come on.
Give it to me.
Give me that funk, that sweet, that nasty, that gushy stuff.
But don't bullshit me.
Come on, give me that funk, that sweet, that nasty, that gushy stuff.
I said, give it to me.
Give me that funk, that sweet, that nasty, that gushy stuff.
But don't bullshit me.
Mama, give me that funk, that sweet, that nasty, that gushy stuff.
I'm a hustler, baby. I just want you to know. It ain't where I've been, but where I'm about to go. Now I just wanna love ya.
Same song, I'm back, been around the world, bro. Manson girls that dance with girls from Club Cheetah, the Club Amnesia, the Peanuts in LA, bubbling in Dublin, can't deny me. Why would you want to? You need me. Why don't you try me? Baby, you want to? Believe me.
Give it to me.
Give me that funk, that sweet, that nasty, that gushy stuff.
But don't bullshit me.
Come on, give me that funk, that sweet, that nasty, that gushy stuff.
So give it to me.
Give me that funk, that sweet, that nasty, that gushy stuff.
But don't bullshit me.
Mama, give me that funk, that sweet, that nasty, that gushy stuff. Give it to me.
That.